Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 193. I'm like, I don't really have anything special to say. Yeah, it was kind
of, all of them kind of start up like that.
Yeah, like I think I'm gonna come out with something really witty or clever or relevant. No, I didn't have anything prepared for that. It was a really slow Wednesday. This is one of the slowest ones I can remember in a long time, which is kind of scary during different. It's not. It's a fourth week. That was one thing that was a little concerning was Marvel did not come out with much. And it was kind of funny. I had a lot of people, a lot being eight, come in looking for Secret Wars number 7 because on the Marvel app, it listed it as shipping today. Like,
It didn't ship today,
but you'd think Marvel would know that it didn't ship today. So that was a little disconcerting.
I don't think they know when that's going to ship.
Well, but they may not know what year it's going to ship.
I don't think they really know.
So apparently that should be November 11th, at least according to today's
5 years from now.
info. But yeah, it was just kind of weird that I had a bunch of people coming in looking for it, and they're like, did it sell out? I'm like, no, it's not out. Where are you getting this information? It's like, oh, from Marvel? Oops. So that was my excitement for the day. But we also had really bad rain up here in Pittsburgh. I think we were getting that hurricane was passing through. Or the remnants of it. We didn't get an actual hurricane in Pittsburgh. That would be.
In case you're curious, Zach.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, Zach. Yeah. James already knows. It already hit him out in Harrisburg, I'm sure. Or at least it's on his way. Or at least by the time he listens to this.
Zach's in Texas. So.
Right. Well, Zach, depending on when it hits Zach. Yeah. Yeah. So. But we just got it.
You might not even see Zach again.
True. You know, I did not get a question from Zach this week. So.
No.
We got a question.
We got a bad question. I'm gonna have to yell at him.
It's not a bad question. It's just it has.
It's a question that made us examine things about ourselves that we didn't want to examine.
Yeah, so that's a bad question. Saturday is the Halloween party. I do apologize for not getting anything online about it earlier. It was
open bar.
No open bar.
Not ever again.
Left cider.
Kraken sponsor?
No. Oh.
Kraken in the
cider? Kraken sponsors it. We might. Let me look into that. Part of the problem is because it's on. The Halloween party is on actual Halloween, and I didn't know what I needed to when I needed to be home to do trick or treating because my kids are still youngish. Well, apparently, not as young as I had thought.
Yeah, they don't want to trick or treat with dad.
My daughter is having friends over. And my son got invited and is going to a new friend from new school's house to trick-or-treat. So
they just don't like you.
My presence is not required at home. So
your son is in a new school?
No, but... No, well, he started a new school last year, but it's one... It's got a lot of new kids that he didn't know. Mm-hmm. So this is a kid that we didn't know from... Because grades kindergarten through three were one school, and now he's in fifth grade, so he's at another one. But it's a kid that... I don't know if we've even met the parents or anything, but... Mm-hmm. We're dumping him, so.
That's quality parenting.
Yeah,
right
there. You know. He's going to have a hockey stick. He's going as Henrik Sedin, so. What?
Didn't some book about parenting just come in?
Yeah.
Terrible parenting.
Yeah.
Or something?
It's more, I think it's the third one in the series. So I keep reading them to make sure I'm doing everything correctly. Yeah.
It's like Goofus and Gallant, but he never listens to Gallant.
Yeah. Well, they're 14 and 11. If I haven't screwed them up by now.
You'll just have to try harder?
No, I'm saying, they should be okay. So the Halloween party, I'm going to do the costume contest around 5. That was my thinking, so that people could then leave and go trick-or-treating and wouldn't have to hang around here longer. And then up to that, I'll have all the books to give away, books to sell for you to give away. Costume contest at 5, and we'll have cookies and cider and stuff during the day. I'll figure out because I did see a recipe for a hot cider with... Kraken. Because sadly, that's the problem when you like Kraken on Facebook. It keeps popping up with all these things.
Make it so.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Just got to keep it.
Where would I ever find
next
some
to
Kraken?
The kid cider is the hard cider.
Yeah. Well, it'll be this special. Yeah. I will look into this. Okay. Pat's news. No, I'm thinking there's something
he's
I want to
talk about. No. That's what he's thinking of.
No, I have a couple things I want to talk about, but. I'll let Pat's news. Oh, I didn't introduce. I'm Colin.
I'm Josh.
The new leader.
I'm Dave.
I'm Pat.
Adam.
I'm Rich.
Okay.
Are you Adam, or are you just saying
we're voting you new leader?
Who, Josh?
Yeah, he seems to keep everything.
Josh is the new leader. Fine, go for it. Okay.
New leader, Josh.
All right, so first up, we got Pat's news. Pat, anything going on this week?
Ooh, not a whole lot, but we got a couple things, Josh. Jessica Jones trailer dropped. Anybody get a chance to check that out?
I did.
That was pretty intense.
It is. It looks like it's going to be a much darker version of the MCU.
Well, remember, part of it was coming from a Max book. The Cage stuff was Max. I don't think Alias was Max, but it definitely
Alias
wasn't.
Was Max.
Was it?
I think it was the first Max.
Okay, so that's where it's spinning out of.
But yeah, there's some definitely intense moments in there. This was the one that I was probably least excited for.
I just didn't know anything about the character.
Well, yeah, and
no, I agree with you there. I didn't know anything about the character other than post.
Right.
Alias,
yeah,
where she appeared with Luke Cage as
his wife and
mother. So,
yeah.
Not his mother, but their baby's mom. So, yeah, so I didn't know what to expect.
Baby mama drama.
baby mama drama. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. The next thing I got was that the Peyton Reed, who directed Ant-Man, is apparently in talks for doing the second Ant-Man. So it might be good to actually get him in from the beginning instead of a week before they start shooting someone else's movie.
Yeah.
It's a technique. But, you know, the way Marvel Studios works, follow the formula and make $1 billion. So we'll see what happens. And the only other thing that I got for regular news, I guess, is they announced today that Nathan Darrow has been cast in Gotham as Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Which, I think that's a good character because age-wise, it works.
Yeah, I think it works, and I think if they do it like they did the Scarecrow, where they showed like more of the past of the character a little bit and how he became who he is, and maybe introduce like if they do.
Well, I want to see Nora.
Nora, if they do that, which they better do that.
Yeah.
Think there's a lot of potential with that character.
I mean, yeah, if they can restrain themselves to keeping him as Victor Freeze and having Nora in there
and not
that.
Not being Mr. Freeze.
But I don't think that they can restrain themselves and keep from doing that. I think he's going to become Mr. Freeze. And the whole thing is, you're changing a huge dynamic about Batman where the whole thing has always been that things escalate because of Batman's escalation.
I think this has been my biggest problem, especially with this season starting off, and they started up immediately with somebody as being the Joker, and they just keep throwing characters at it, and it's leaving no room for Batman to exist.
Yeah.
And I don't think they get that. Like, he doesn't exist, he has no reason to. If Gordon
to take care
of
all these people,
then, you know, he seems to do fine on his own. There's
if these
no
people
reason
can
for
exist
Batman.
For 10 years,
yeah,
and Gotham is still like alive and running, they're not a threat anyways.
Yes.
He doesn't have to exist.
The Penguin I get, and that works because I never would have had him run his own family yet. I would have had him kind of working his way up.
I think it happened too quick.
Yeah,
I think they shot that in the foot.
And that may have been
same thing
just
with Riddler.
Know
I feel like
quick.
Riddler's spiraling out of control.
I think he is slower, though.
He is, but he's not going to turn into the Riddler. You're going to see his descent into
this week, I think.
But he's not going to put on the mask and the costume.
Again, I hope you're right.
So I think them playing it, but I definitely see next year, especially looking at the kid, is growing, kind of like the kid in Walking Dead is really growing. So I can see them next year making a jump.
Dead,
let's say they make a 3-year jump.
For the rest of his life.
And then the next year they make another 3-year jump and
that
Batman.
That kid's going to like plateau in his growth spurts.
He might, or they recast.
Yeah, I mean, and that's...
But I can see them doing that. I personally think it was a mistake to make him a character.
Yeah.
Have him there to
they
set...
like, referenced him, like, talked about him.
Right, have him there to set up the show, and Gordon comforts him and everything, and that's it.
And then later season, even him just coming back.
Yeah.
Doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, but
he's
by making him a major, a character in the show, I think was a mistake.
The only thing that I don't find to be a mistake of that is I really like the dynamic with him and Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
But that's almost like it should have been a different show.
Yeah.
You know, kind of showing him training and all that.
Yeah, and I like that. I like Alfred. I'm still not sold on Jim Gordon himself.
You just missed the mustache.
Well, that's certainly part of it. But, like, the whole thing with him being a debt collector.
Josh likes
comment.
A mustache.
Yeah. I had a very lewd comment.
At least how it tickles.
The rides are fantastic.
There you go.
No, the where he became a debt collector for the Penguin, I had a problem with that. That's just not something Jim Gordon would do. You know, he's a pretty unimpeachable kind of guy. He wouldn't have went to that. He'd have figured out some other way to get his job back. So that was just kind of awkward.
And, you know, this
he just doesn't feel like Jim Gordon to me at all.
This season isn't very different. If you think about it, like, it's the same kind of crime taking over, you know. I feel like they're going to do the same thing where this guy's working for...
This season is just about introducing all the entire rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Every single episode is a different, you know, well-known Batman rogue.
And then Firefly kind of threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like what they did with that, though.
I don't know. Like, the whole thing, you never know which Firefly is who, because they kind of don't give Firefly anymore a specific, like, name anymore, character. They kind of throw them all over the place. Even New 52 made a new one.
Yeah.
But I like how Garfield Lens anymore.
But I like how they did that, and they had the girl, and she was abused, and, you know, her thing was...
Did they ever color Firefly in it?
Hmm?
And Gotham.
I'm trying to think.
Because they used the character already in Arrow.
Yeah, they did. I think they did call her Firefly at one point, but it was kind of like...
Because they kept hearing her call Firebugs.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. They called her something, though.
Not to say that was a bad character. I think she kind of did her own demise, though. I don't really understand why everybody's mad at him. But
the only one that's mad at him is Selena.
You said that too while you were watching. Yeah, she
right.
started
yeah.
leaking.
I mean,
you know?
Somebody else shot the thing, and then she set the fire, and he's going.
Yeah.
What was he saying? There you go. So
not only that, I mean, they're cops. She's shooting a flamethrower at
right.
them. They're not going to not. You know, shoot back.
Selena Kyle's been getting on my nerves in this season, too. She's very grumpy, and I don't know.
She went and hugged her.
Grumpy
nice.
Cat.
Grumpy cat. Yeah, she's grumpy cat. That's a podcast, everybody. We'll see you next week.
So. I'm out.
The whole podcast lived up to that. We're done.
My jetpack.
We can't do anything else. Let's go. I'll
fly out of here.
Voosh.
I guess the only other thing that kind of got, which Adam hated, was that Supergirl premiered this week.
Adam hated it.
I don't know why Adam hated
it. I did not see it yet. So.
I'll go with that. I didn't just think.
Well, you didn't see it yet?
I liked it. For a pilot, it wasn't bad.
No, I don't.
Definitely some things you have to improve on.
Right. And my thing, like, I just... Something about the woman that played Allie McBeal, Calista Flockhart.
Yeah.
Just grates on me.
No,
I'm not...
I didn't realize that's who it was until she took off her sunglasses in the little, 12-minute trailer we saw for it a while back. And then I remember going, oh.
Yeah.
I didn't mind her in the show.
Well, it just got a little too Devil Wears Prada thing.
They had to turn up a bit too much with that. Like, they went too far with it. But if they could dial that back a little bit, I wouldn't mind it.
I also don't know what kind of newspaper they're running there.
Well, they're not. She was getting ready to shut
down. That wasn't
the
newspaper office.
Yeah, that was the
whole... What else did she do?
She's a whole, like, media conglomerate.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's one thing that's good with a TV show, though, is they can address that quickly, because it's not like they've shot the whole season.
Yeah.
And now, most of the time, they're...
How often do they address it quickly, though?
No, well, maybe... I remember Arrow did some things quickly that people weren't liking. Mm. Even Constantine, after the pilot, made a lot of changes. So there may be things where, you know, the initial feedback was, hey, you may have been a little heavy-handed on this, and they can pull it back. It's not like, you know, it's a movie, it's done, we'll do it in 2 years when we do the next movie. It's something that they can, maybe if the next couple episodes still do it, but they can start toning something like that back down.
Yeah.
I like the costume. I thought they did a good costume.
Costume looked good. I thought
the actress,
she did a good job.
Yeah she did.
Although when she at some points was a little too Felicity like,
that's the writing, I think.
Well, it's the same guys that did Arrow, so it was kind of you know,
they wanted her to relate to that type of girl, you know.
Yeah, but
that's kind of what it was, and you know, and one thing that's kind of interesting between her character and Supergirl, like, it's almost kind of the same character. She doesn't, like... That is her. Where Clark Kent puts on a show, and then he's all, like,
mm-hmm.
Superman. She was kind of like that through it.
Yeah.
She's just learning what she's doing. So that wasn't too bad.
Things I didn't care for. I don't like that they're trying too hard to make the entire setup of the show be just, like, a female Clark Kent and Superman kind of
that
thing.
That was kind of a problem.
I don't care for the Jimmy Olsen character, James Olsen. Like I said before, my problem isn't so much that they made him like the cool guy instead of like the bumbling kind of guy, but more so that he feels like he exists just to be a mouthpiece for Superman, since they don't want to put Superman on the show. So he's constantly just saying things like, Superman told me this, or this is what Superman does, or that's what they do. They say, really cool. Like, it's just, I hope.
Well, now just, that he's addressed that he knows.
Yeah, and I hope that was just, you know,
gonna stop.
For the pilot, and it does stop.
Yeah. But, I want to see what they do with it. I think it's a. What, it's a, it. Does it share the time slot with Gotham?
It does.
It overlaps. It's 8:30 to 9:30.
No, it's 8 to 9. It yeah, this is just this week. Oh,
I think CBS kind of. We were discussing this the other day. Yesterday, I think CBS kind of, without them being on Hulu, I think they kind of hurt themselves with this type of thing.
It's that's a huge
rating. Yeah, the ratings were massive.
Did it hit?
Oh, it was the massive. Biggest ratings of a new fall show.
Okay. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just, those are kind of things that I think a lot of people are looking for.
Something like that.
Maybe people are watching stuff, you know, on, well, I guess people can also DVR.
Well, I didn't watch it live because I watched Gotham. I DVR'd it.
We watched it live.
So, a lot of people are DVRing stuff as well.
And then, the other things like the initial villains and the whole thing with the agency.
I think
was
that was
a bit,
my biggest problem.
It was a bit flat, a bit boring. Yeah. And then the other thing, they didn't do a good job of explaining why Superman wouldn't be involved in anything right now. Like, they should. I wish they would have given a better reason for, you know, where
they
he's
can't
at.
Cast the Superman.
Well, no, but they. It was almost like he dropped her off at the Danvers house.
And then never saw her again.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, that's not only his cousin, that's the only other, theoretically, Kryptonian
like,
on the planet.
I guess I could believe that he didn't want to draw attention to her.
Didn't they say in the show, you know, he wanted her to find her own way?
Yeah, but still, like, when she's to ask, you know, James Olsen what he's like. You think at some point in 24 years or whatever that...
Yeah, he'd show up, you know, as Clark Kent. Fly there and, you know, as Superman, but, you know,
he'd take
a bus.
He shows
and...
up for birthdays.
It didn't sound like a Dave.
That's what it was.
Deadbeat cousin.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get that they're cousins, but that's his only family on the planet, and that's her only family on the planet.
That does seem odd that he wouldn't show up for that. Superman. You know how Superman is. How he's just like, I'm the only one out there.
Yeah.
That's my only sad thing.
But yeah, like overall though, I enjoyed it. I think that, I mean, I think it'll get better. I hope it'll get better. But for a pilot, I thought it was a pretty decent episode.
I think villains were my biggest problem with it. That you're looking at this and you're like, this seems very generic.
But
he's going up against like this guy with a, you know,
well, it's not
spiky
like
head
it's not like she has
that's
a Klingon gallery.
And I think that's a problem.
I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you.
Character.
Well, I almost wish for the initial episode they didn't have like some big threat like that. I wish it was almost just like her. She initially saved this plane and then was doing other smaller things.
That was one thing. You know, that kind
of
stuff.
Sandy didn't like that part. She watched some of it. Came on upstairs. So by that point, was watching hockey. Mm-hmm. But she said the plane scene was a little, oh, her friend just happens to be on the plane.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, then you find out why she's on the plane.
Okay.
The plane was actually targeted because she was on it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I just remember my wife, Sandy said something about that.
Yeah, they did have, what is it, DOA?
DOE?
What is that? Or it's the guy, if I remember
Department
previous DC, it was run by some guy
the
with
guy
like
the
a
skull face. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
so that was
kind of
neat, having that organization on there.
I mean, it's DEO, or D. What is it, Dave? Is it DEO?
Yeah, it's DEO.
Department of Extraterrestrial.
It was Mr. Bones,
something.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah,
Bones.
But now it's run by Cyborg Superman.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's who Hank Henshaw is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've
That's
already...
kind of the same origin as Mr. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I've always liked Cyborg Superman. If they do something with
you
that,
would.
And they have
you
Cyborg
would
Superman,
like Cyborg Superman.
If they have him come out, become Cyborg Superman on that show, I'd like that.
You know what though?
Because they could.
Seeing
I'm
what
sure
they
well.
Did with Red Tornado.
What city is she?
What about like a Cyborg
National
Superman
city.
Coming of age story?
The back?
When he was a little young cyborg.
What are her villains?
She
just kind
of shows. When they showed that wall of the monitors with all those villains on there,
yeah,
who escaped? I think one of them was Despero.
Oh, that's cool.
I think he was in the middle, the purple
Yeah, if you had some of those, that would be good.
I didn't recognize him.
That's why I said, I can't totally judge. I just didn't like the first episode. It didn't have anything that caught me, like a lot of shows have.
I just liked having this.
Even S.H.I.E.L.D. caught me on the first episode a little bit.
Female superhero or any superhero who was happy to be a superhero and was ready to go out and do some good. And
she wasn't brooding, that's for sure.
Yeah. Barry Allen's happy to be the Flash.
Yeah, well, yeah. I like the female superhero who's not a spy or an assassin either.
Yeah.
Or a computer hacker.
Or a computer hacker.
No, I've only read the new 52 Supergirl where she's just really angry all the time, and she did not come off that way.
No, she was very pleasant.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Now the actress did a really good job, mm-hmm. though. That I will say, I think she did a good job portraying that character.
I think so. That's a tough role.
Where did her friend, who's the IT guy, who actually acts like Jimmy Olsen would, where is he getting access to bulletproof polymers and whatnot, though?
Yeah, I kind of wondered about that too.
Also, she says on there, and maybe they were just, they know Superman, they don't know he's an alien or not, but he said she was just like, aliens don't exist or something. And there's one flying around a city, like, that they know of. I mean, maybe nobody knew Superman was an alien, maybe they just think he's a human, but I thought that was kind of odd.
Well, no, because Hank makes, she says, well, you know, no one's afraid of aliens, or, you know, no one's afraid of my cousin. And then he says something to the effect of, oh, no, plenty of people are. They just don't say it out loud.
Well, no, I was talking about the IT guy, the conversation between them two. You remember that?
Where he said there's, she said something about aliens don't exist or whatever.
Just like, oh.
But they might not know he's an alien. Yeah,
that's a possibility. They might just think he's a human that has superpowers.
Yeah.
The IT guy's an alien? What?
Dun, dun, dun.
We don't know.
That's how he does what he does.
I will say this for the show, and it goes along with what Dave was saying about female superhero. The one cool thing for me is that for weeks with the commercials, you know, my 5-year-old daughter has been, like, excited for it, and then yesterday asked, you know, if she could stay up late to watch the show, so.
She doesn't look up the sky? Or Daisy?
No. We don't let her watch crap. Actually, that show hasn't been bad this season.
She doesn't look up the Barbara Gordon? Or Catwoman? Wait, no, that doesn't. Okay, yeah, Supergirl.
May.
Yeah.
No, that show hasn't been bad this season.
No, it hasn't.
I like S.H.I.E.L.D. better than Gotham.
It's not my favorite show. I have to say Flash, even though I didn't watch
somebody
it
on S.H.I.E.L.D.
You like S.H.I.E.L.D. better than Flash?
No, I like Flash is my favorite altogether.
Okay. I was about to slap that hat off your head.
reveal your
pointy elf ears.
If after last night's episode, Flash isn't your favorite show, there's a problem.
Man, how good was that episode?
When you pull off King Shark,
a character who I think even looks too goofy for the comic books.
Yes.
When you bring him on the show, have the guts to bring him on the show, and then he actually looks awesome.
Yeah.
Well, like I mentioned before, you know, any other show would drop that name in an episode. It'd be weeks until you see any hint of him. But then he shows up at the end.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I saw him on screen and I didn't think, wow, this looks cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, he looked like a badass.
Yeah.
And not even like, not like big guy that like kind of looks sharkish. No, straight up like shark. Like, they need their CG folks for the next Sharknado.
It's from every direction. Movie.
Flash versus Shark.
Somebody's pulling up at 8:30.
Lock the door.
So it didn't jump the shark then.
Oh!
It just got Dave.
Josh.
No, that was bad.
We gave him time.
I apologize for that.
That was bad.
Yeah.
He's still in the pilot of testing this whole thing out, his new catchphrase, so.
We're in the beta stage.
Yeah.
So that's all for news, Josh.
I don't think I want to get Dave, did he?
Do we have any questions this week?
Yeah, Colin, you want to share the question with us?
Yeah, sorry.
Colin.
Hang on.
Hey, what happened?
No, I didn't have the question ready.
He's unprepared.
Oh, man.
I can't answer the question, so I forwarded it on to you guys.
Oh, well.
No, I'll get it. Hang on. I just got to find it. There we go. Okay. The question was, this is from James in Harrisburg Way.
Oh.
How many books do each of you have on your pull list currently, and is there a method to your madness for deciding to add books to it?
worst question ever.
Yeah, games, apparently you're costing me a lot of money with this one, so not appreciated.
Because this is a number that none of us want to face. Like,
I was happy with ignorance.
For any respectable, you know, video game player, the last thing you ever want to look at is your time played in a game. As long as you're having fun and not ignoring things that you need to do, that's all that matters. You don't want to look and see how much time you actually sank into Skyrim or Fallout.
So let's just get this over with then, and let's start canceling some books here.
Oh, that's exactly what these two said they were going to do.
This is something I've been, for a while, looking at thinking, like, I should really look at this and see how many I have on there and get rid of stuff I'm not enjoying that much. But I just didn't want
to
do it.
I knew it wasn't part of the question, but again, we have this time now to do that. So, Colin, do you have your notebooker?
Let's just say I didn't get Cyborg today.
Oh,
I had been getting it.
So, yeah. Minus one.
So, Colin's kids aren't going to eat tonight, James.
Thanks, James.
Okay, but answer the question.
Oh, like, the number?
Well, not necessarily if you don't want to say the number.
I'll say the number.
But, you know, what do you decide to do?
45. Oh. 45.
Dave?
I'm around that. I'm sure I get like 10 to 15 books a week, so.
Yeah.
Dave's really upped his game.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all for Colin.
Now, right now I'm at 27.
And I can't believe, I really thought that you were around.
But again, here's why I'm at
He 20. Hasn't done any of the Marvel since it came back.
That's right. The only one I've done is Doctor Strange. Well, no, because what I did was I went on Comixology. I looked at my pull list from last month, from this month, and for next month, and it averaged out to 27 or 28. But there were things that weren't on it, like Afterlife with Archie wasn't on it because they haven't had an issue in 6 months. Sabrina, same thing. I mean, those are two books I would normally get.
On Comixology, looked at my subscriptions page and counted them all, so there's some things that are on hiatus.
Okay. This is probably a lot of your Valiant.
Eight books.
And then do you pick up a lot of DC still?
I still pick up a lot of DC.
So that's probably where you're replacing a lot of your Marvel.
Well, I know where my books are coming from.
Yeah.
I just don't like to be presented with it.
I would say, you know, prior to
it's
Marvel
bad enough
shutting,
I give you a number every week.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Prior to Marvel shutting down, I was probably at 42 or 43 books.
Yeah.
Marvel shutting down. They're
getting
there.
Well, I can say this. Yeah. I'm really going to have to be super interested in a Marvel book to pick it up now at this after this revelation.
That's kind of my biggest
haters.
Well, is that I have to be really into
hold on,
it.
Folks.
I can't just jump in.
Where are you at?
Where am I at? 32.
32. I thought you were lower than that. I didn't think you were at 32.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I thought you were probably in the 20s.
Well, he doesn't read them. He looks at the pretty pictures. Them.
Rich?
You know, I don't know because I didn't figure this out.
Ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be at least around 20, I'd say, Colin. Does that sound about right?
Could be. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I think so. Me. I mean, some
four
of that might
be. Do you get 4 or 5 books a week?
Sometimes some weeks it's only 2, some weeks I get like 7, so it's kind of I'm probably in the 4 to 5. All right. So, and I mean, you know, I'm being with a couple months ahead. I know there's some on my list that are 2 months out, you know, kind of thing, which makes it look bigger. And I've got a couple that are, you know, 4-issue series, so that pads the list a little too because they kind of fade away and they stay on there, so it looks bigger.
Now, is everybody's counting as well, like where or what is their like getting right now, like not future things that you have in your pool.
No, I count things because I generally don't add things.
Like
to my
Dark Knight is on my pool right
no,
now.
No, I didn't count.
I just counted things that are currently in my Comixology subscription list.
Okay,
and I normally don't add things there until like the week before it's about to come out.
I just recently had him get my list for me so I can look it over and see what I'm getting.
Yeah.
And that's where I took that from, but I didn't count anything. That
if you use Comixology, you have an easy way to see all that right there.
But that's like I can say in the last couple weeks, there's books I've pulled that I've dropped because I either wasn't enjoying them or yeah, I have other things going on where I can't spend the amount of time reading as I used to.
Yeah.
So that played into it too, but. You know, at the same time, I'll look at previews, and there's probably 4 or 5 books in there that I'll pick up.
And that's truthfully, you know, kidding aside, that's where my, you know, drops are going to come from, where I have some books that sit there until, you know, like Tuesday night, and finally I'm like, all right, I have to read that because tomorrow's, you know, no book day or podcast.
Why are 3 Harley Quinns I still haven't read?
So at that point, it's like, if I'm not excited to read this book, if it becomes a chore, then why am I picking up? Yeah. And that's why Like, one of the books I'm going to drop is going to be Detective Comics, I think. I'll wait two more issues because after this next issue, then it's Robin War, and I'm going to pick up that because it's part of it.
Yeah, and I'll pick up all the Robin War things. So, like, like that, you know, I'm going to end up picking up extra books.
But, you know, unless the next issue of Detective is much better than Tomasi's first issue, I'm probably not going to continue. Only because I don't think it's, you know, awful or bad. I'm getting so many books that I'd rather, you know, shave things off I'm not enjoying and then pick up things that I'm interested in.
So. Yeah.
So there I have the question, what's your method, you know?
Yeah, oh, the other half.
Yeah, what's the method of madness? For adding books to your pull list.
New phone. There we go.
That's all right. He just got it.
Yeah, it was, do you rely on customer pre-orders when determining your order, or do you have to use other information for more skeptical customers that want to wait and see?
A three-part question?
Yeah, there's a part that's just for Colin.
I'm mostly wondering about new number ones that lack data from sales history. I forwarded you the whole entire email.
I just read the next part of our question.
Oh, okay.
That's the part.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You slapped me in the face and took
over.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I thought you got to mine. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
So for me, with adding new things...
I'll watch the hockey game.
Adding new things to my pull list. There's some things I'll try out by default. Like, for most part, the Valiant stuff.
Yeah.
I am such a big fan of their books that any new books I'll try out initially. If it's a creative team that I generally, you know, like a lot, I'll check out a new number one from them. And if it's something that I really enjoy a whole lot, I'll subscribe to it. Otherwise, if I just, you know, like it but not need to read every single issue, I'll do trade waiting on it. And then if things tie into each other, I'll get suckered into sometimes adding to my pull list if it's a longer crossover. I like that DC's thing now is like a 1 month crossover, so it's really just pick up one book as opposed to five parts like the Lantern stuff was several months ago. But that's my reasoning or rationale behind it. Dave?
I'd say my main reasoning is I probably follow writers more than anything, and I'm more apt to pick up something that a writer like Greg Rucka does, like I got Black Magic today.
Yeah, I picked up today just because
of Greg Rucka.
I like Lazarus.
I trust those guys, him and Brian Wood. I wouldn't have picked up something like Rebels probably if it wasn't Brian Wood writing it, and I trust these guys are going to deliver a good story, and I'm really disappointed in them. And Jeff Lemire, too.
Oh, rarely disappointed. Okay. I think you said really.
Rarely. Sorry.
Yeah, like Jeff Lemire, I may pick up some of his new Marvel books just because I like his writing so much.
I think his X-Men comes out next week, and I would...
Yeah, I'm not sure about X-Men. I might pick up... I mean, I've been reading Hawkeye, so I'll probably do that still. I might check out his Moon Knight.
Okay.
But I've loved his stuff since Animal Man and Sweet Tooth, so...
Yes.
Essex County.
Yes, yeah.
Underwater Welder.
Yeah. Yeah, I started with
showing
that.
Off now.
Yeah, I started with Essex County.
One of those books made you cry, so you better cool it.
It did. I told him that.
Yeah.
In person.
What's your signed
hardcover?
What's your rationale, Pat?
It you know, it kind of depends on the company. So, you know, with Marvel and DC, it's more if it's a character I love, I'll tend to give it a shot. You know, like Moon Knight, I know I'm going to try it. Punisher, I know I'm going to try it. Deadpool, I know I'm going to try it. I may like it, I may not. I may drop it later, but I'll at least give it a shot.
Since you mentioned some Marvel books, let me ask you a question. Does the shipping schedule have anything to do with your decision to add it to your pull list or not?
It did with dropping some things, because, like, with Avengers, I wasn't enjoying Avengers, and it was double shipping, and then New Avengers was doing the same thing, and I'm like, why am I buying four books a month that I'm not enjoying?
Yeah, the double shipping thing, I started looking at, like, this book is essentially taking up two spots
right
on my pull list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really don't feel like spending, you know, $8 a month.
It's not like they're stopping
to read, you know, Dan Slott's Spider-Man or to read Brian Michael Bendis's X-Men stuff.
We'll come back to this later.
Okay.
You know, had it been...
Stay tuned, listeners.
No. But, no, when I go to what's shipping next week, Iron Man 3 is coming out next week. So it's been every other week. But it's been coming. Mm-hmm. And just, why?
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, I think it was before the podcast I was talking, I'm like, but then when they take 2 months off, Why are they rushing all this stuff out? Why not let it go over 3 months? But he wants to see your toy, your doll.
But you know, other than that, then it either is going to depend on, you know, who the writer is, or, you know, when I'm sitting here listening to you guys, if I hear you, you know, like Southern Bastards. I didn't pick up the Southern Bastards until the trade came out for the first arc. But just
neither did Josh. We made him stand outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't bother me. You know, having it spoiled.
I do kind of like when, through whatever circumstance, I have to start a book via trade, or end up starting a book via trade, because then I'm already there, so I continue it through trade. Because I really do enjoy the trades more than the single issues in most cases.
Yes and no.
I don't like the idea of being behind, but I do like, I like the feel of the trade. I like seeing it on a bookshelf. I like being able to plow through a whole arc at once.
Yeah. Well, like, I started with The Walking Dead, I think it... Well, I started picking it up in individual issues somewhere in the 90s. And so I think it was like the first 16 or 17 trades, and I just flew through them. And then that was the problem, was I read through them so fast, you know, then I was like, okay, well, now I'm caught up, and I got to start reading single issues. And that became...
And that has happened to me before, whenever I liked something so much that I caught up, and suddenly I was like, well, I got to jump on now. That with Azrael and Chang's Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Between a sale with Comixology and a sale with a Collins store. Like, I went from trades to some digital issues to back issues here, and then suddenly being on the monthly books. Because DC makes it hard.
They changed the team, and they went, pow!
Yeah.
I'm out of here. They do.
DC makes it hard to jump from trades to monthly books, because the trades come out so far behind.
Well, I just got Multiversity last week, and that was over in January.
Yeah.
I don't think it was January.
I think it finished up right before Convergence, didn't it?
Yeah, but
was it? I thought it
no,
was...
No, it finished up right before, but that was May.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know I read... Because I read the one... I got an advanced copy in November when I was in New York.
That's still 5 months, though. That's a long time to wait. Whereas with Marvel...
And it's just the hardcover.
It's a couple... Yeah. But that was, I wasn't going to wait another 6 months to get
No, that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah, they are a little slow on that.
So, yeah. But that's kind of the method to my madness.
Russell?
No, I mean...
No! Oh, sorry, you're panicking.
I kind of just have on there what I usually have. If something comes out that I'm interested in, but I'm not like, I might not keep it on my pull because I don't want to bother him all the time taking it off if I'm like... The first issue I liked, though, was the second issue I didn't. I usually just pick it up for a while, and if I really like it and catches to me, like Tokyo Ghost, I'm probably going to add. That's kind of how I do that.
That one I'm almost torn on, because I really like the monthly issues, but I really think a trade would read very well with that.
This second issue, which you know, I'll talk about. It sold. It was a really good issue. So I want to pick this one up in issues.
Unexpected Male Anatomy is all I'm going to say now.
Okay.
Dangle covers.
Not a cover, but...
Well, no, he posted on Twitter that he was at a signing and was a little drunk, so he just started doing random dangle covers.
I did see that. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what he meant, but seeing the issue,
he meant that.
And then I'll just add some, like anything that I know that I'm going to want. Like, I'm sold on.
For like every Spider-Man issue.
I'll be...
Web Warriors is already on his pull.
Yeah, I'm passing.
Gwenpool, or...
There is no Gwenpool.
Spider-Gwen.
Even though she is the most popular character ever.
But no, that's... nothing too exciting.
I'm curious to hear yours, because you have some interesting books on your list,
Rich. Yeah, I don't really have a set method yet. I mean, really, as far as the core, I guess, kind of classic comics goes right now, I mean, I've got Justice League, Batman, and Superman, just because they're... Because
you come
Batman
here and you
Superman.
Have to have Justice.
Yeah,
League
I have to
Batman.
Like I have to like DC apparently if I shop at this store.
That's
so anyway,
not true.
So that, so that knocks out those three. I mean, so far, I mean, besides you know here, occasionally I'll start something after the fact. Like if you guys will talk about one, you know, it's just kind of starting up, and then it's you know I mean, I know the like the monthly previews, but even just little weekly ones and stuff when I was coming in sort of sporadically. Yeah, I just kind of look at titles and I'd be like, oh, that sounds kind of interesting, or, you know, something a little weird, you know, a little different. I kind of, you know, I don't think I have one theme kind of running through, because I do have a fairly weird mix, you know, kind of thing. And so far, I mean, I'm not locked in any. Like the new Moore one I picked up just because I was like, hey, I'll see what he's doing, you know, because I know who Alan Moore is, you know, kind of.
He's Alan Moore.
Yeah, that was definitely, he's the Warlock, so, you know, and then, but, you know, so far I'm not really locked too much to creators, but there's a few that I'm getting to know now that I probably will, you know, into the future kind of thing. But, yeah, it's mostly just if I read the little blurb and I think it's good, and then I'll stick with it. I've dropped a few, you know, over the months that, you know, just kind of
fizzled.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, they're okay. But, you know, then as I started adding more, it kind of became like you said too, you know, I had to sort of drop a couple just so I didn't feel like I was getting too carried away. So.
And Colin, how big is your pull list?
Well, I do not have a pull list, or my pull list is huge because I get everything, because I do pay for it all. But main thing I do,
And you resell them.
I do. So does everybody else. They sell them back to me. Basically, when I take books home, it's mostly I'm taking home the number ones, because I do try to read every number one that comes out within reason. Like, I'm probably not going to read Squirrel Girl number one, because I don't think I need to pitch it, and mostly that's why I'm doing it.
She just sells itself.
You took it yesterday, didn't you?
I did. I probably did just to see if there was anything different. But when I looked, it looked pretty much the same. What are you doing?
She's showing something.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, the daughter.
Another dangle cover. Okay.
You're mine out of the gutter.
So, and then, but then from there, there's books that really catch my eye that I read to keep up with because I want to, but do my best. But like, Prez came out today. That was the first book I read last night, before, you know, anything else, any of the new number ones or anything, because it's a book awesome. I'm really enjoying. Same with books like Batman and Justice League. Those are top of the pile
books. And that's kind of rare for you to actually read beyond the first issue.
Not rare, but if you think about how many number ones come out each week.
I didn't mean that as a dig at all.
Yeah, well,
it came off
as a dig.
You're sensitive.
Yeah.
But you'll read issue one, like, so that way you can pitch the book and talk about a new series.
Yeah.
But you normally don't have time to go back and continue reading the whole arc or future arcs. There's very few select books that you enjoy enough to where you go back and continue reading those ongoing pieces.
And like Justice League has been one of those.
So apologize.
No. It did come up. It's rare for you to read past number one.
Jeez, sensitive. Touchy.
You're usually soft.
That's a nice watch, Colin.
I don't even have it. I forgot it. I took it off when I got in the shower and then forgot to put it back on. So I've been lost all day. But and then I'm
seems
always
like Colin hasn't moved all day. He's in a ditch somewhere.
But he may be dead. But then it's tough because like I want to read all the Marvel number ones and all the DC number ones and the Image number ones because those I'm going to be pitching. But then it's fun when I can take when this is a big part where covers catch my eye when I'm grabbing those small company books. Because if the cover doesn't interest me enough to take home, well, it's probably not going to interest you guys enough to take home.
Isn't that kind of your experience, though? Because you're wanting not only to read it to pitch it, but then just sitting there and reading it and not pitching what you like really want to read. Does that kind of ruin your reading experience?
No, I mean, I guess a little bit. I don't read as much for enjoyment, like
because it comes off as work sometimes, and then you want
sometimes
the entertainment
sometimes
as a comic
it
book
is
fan.
Work. Reading Angela today was work. But like I read, like Black Magic has a ton of text in the back that I just didn't have time to read. You know, I wish I could have, but I don't. You know, I'm not sitting there enjoying myself reading. It's more a lot of times it does feel like work getting through it. But then there's a lot of books that are great. Like Josh is going to talk later about Clean Room.
We're both
that
gonna talk about
that I thought was great. I'm enjoying these, you know, a lot of the oddball stuff. Like, the Vertigo stuff is definitely more oddball, but things like We Can Never Go Home, things like San Hannibal, or even Mayday, that was bizarre, but I still enjoyed it. I'm always looking for those different kind of things. It was kind of funny, I meant to mention this, but I didn't. I read two previews, like PDF previews, last week, and one made me... I don't think I've adjusted my orders yet, but I really liked it, and I'm going to order more. And then one I read really disappointed me, and I lowered my orders.
What was the one that you're going to raise your orders on?
The Goddamned. Okay. I did not realize, and I don't know if I want to give away who the lead character is, but when they reveal at the end of the issue who the lead character is, it was like, oh, wow. It was really cool. It's a big figure in history. But the one that I didn't care for...
Pee Wee Herman. No.
That's a big character.
I'll give it away if you want to know.
SpongeBob.
It was Kane.
Oh.
It was kind of cool.
The wrestler.
No. But then I
no,
read
Bob Kane from
now, and I feel I may be jumping the gun because looking at subsequent covers, it looks like this book could get interesting. But I read the first issue of that Superman American Alien and did not like it because it was basically literally just Superman, Superboy coming of age, learning to fly. It was just, I'm like, oh, it's just another origin. But it looks like it may be taking some turns. Yeah. I forget who wrote it, but whoever wrote it can certainly have some interesting ideas. But that first issue just did nothing for me. And it was literally just felt like yet another origin, another take on maybe something that's never been explored, especially in New 52. But the cover had that Children in the Corn kind of look where he's standing in the cornfield with his eyes glowing, and it was really kind of creepy.
Max Landis.
Okay. But that first issue was just not very exciting at all. Mm. So I cut my orders by about 50% on that one.
Step it up, Max. Step it up.
Okay, getting back to...
What's your other question, Colin? Your secret question.
Now, my secret question that was right there in front of you.
Secret question!
You
want us to go stand outside while you answer it?
No, how I order, it's gut.
He throws darts at envelopes. And
no, but...
He throws intestines on the table. Whatever books they land on, that's what he orders.
Yeah, there you go. Fair enough. But, I mean, most of them have something or something I can equate it to. Like, Extraordinary X-Men doesn't have anything it's specifically relating to, but it looks like it's going to be the main X book. So I ordered it based on that. That's new. The gut and the pre-orders take place or come into play, like Doctor Strange. So I had a number in my mind, and because of one Jason Aaron and Chris Bocciolo, and the character who I've always liked Doctor Strange, but he's never really done much book wise. He's never sold well. There's never been a Doctor Strange book since I opened, other than a Mark Waid miniseries. So I didn't know how to order it. But with the movie coming, I figure there's going to be some buzz with that. Jason Aaron has a good reputation. So I had a number in mind. And then I cut it because I saw it was a $5 book. But in that one, for instance, my head number was 50. I cut it back to 35. On that one, I had 5 pre-orders when issue 1 came out. I sold out on Wednesday of the 35 that I got in. So... there's a lot of not knowing.
Did
but if you
play that book up at all? Like
they did,
not like they do like with they did A Force, like they put
right,
it out
there. Right.
They this one seemed kind of it was just there.
Yeah, but a lot of there was a lot of buzz about it.
Yeah.
So I sold out of that. I've since gotten in 10 and I think I have like 2 left. So 45 would have been the right number. But then something like Ant-Man, where I ordered exactly how the last issue sold, and I believe I have about 15 copies left on the shelf. So going with previous sales data doesn't always work because people don't always come back.
I can speak for Ant-Man. I started reading it. It was okay. Issue 3, I was kind of like, eh. But I knew it was ending at 5, and I'm like, I'm just going to see it through. But then I didn't see anything from this new run to say, you know what, I got to pick this back up. Mm-hmm. So they kind of killed it by having a crap ending of the last one.
And having it gone for 6 months, too.
Yeah.
Sadly, I mean, I wish I could say pre-orders were a huge part of it, but it's not. And there's been a lot of talk online about that recently, about pre-orders and creators trying to get people to pre-order their books. I don't use pre-orders numbers specifically. Like, if I have 5 pre-orders, I'll order 10.
Pre-orders are hard to
most people don't tell me.
People don't tell
I tried to this time with the last previous order. I told you like three actual books that I wanted to
pre-order.
Because I heard you speak about.
Well, I mean, it helps only because the big thing that we as retailers have to deal with is the difference between PR buzz and actual buzz.
Yeah.
I'm on this new Mark Miller retailer website, and a new retailer who actually doesn't quite have a store open yet, it sounds like, in Scotland, asked, you know, what are some of the things, and I forget, he used some acronym, but that you'll never do again, things that you wish you knew so you wouldn't do it. And the one thing I want to say to him that I'm just trying to figure out a better way to type it up is, what? No. No. Is don't buy into the hype. Don't, just because Marvel's sitting there telling me that Gwenpool is the hottest character out there, I'm not buying into the hype and ordering a ton of Howard the Ducks to get that Gwenpool first appearance. You have to be able to figure out what's just fluff. And sadly, most of it is fluff. It's just either publishers doing it or lots of people online saying, oh, this is going to be the greatest book ever, but they don't buy it or they're not my customers. You know, they're not people that come in interested.
Your best way of getting that, though, is to know, to help your ordering, is by people telling you
what
they need.
Yeah.
Because that does. You can't necessarily. It's very inaccurate to go by the PR buzz and say, well, because you can't really guess what the PR buzz is.
But I also understand you as a customer don't want to commit to a book. By the way, here at the store, if you don't want to buy something, you don't have to buy something, even though you've asked me to get it. Unless it's like a statue or an action figure or something.
Yeah,
but if you ask me to hold you a book and you decide when it comes out that it looks like crap and you don't want it, that's no problem. If it's a trade, I might throw it at you. But
if it's merchandise, like if it's toys or something like that.
Yeah.
Bigger stuff.
You're getting because you want it.
Right.
A book where it comes out and suddenly the reviews are bad and you decide.
But I know, I know this was a point, that's something I'm going to talk about later, that I was, when I paused that one time when you yelled at me, was I wrote an editorial on the website wanted to talk about when you said you were taken over.
You were doing a bad job.
Okay. But it's people are hesitant. With so many books nowadays being $4 and $5 and $6, nobody really wants to commit to it. So I'm not asking you to commit to it, but let me know, because if all of a sudden five people ask me to hold a book that I didn't think anybody was really interested in, okay, well I'm going to up my numbers, because even with a trade, a lot of times I won't order a trade, but somebody will ask me to order one. Well, I'll order two then, because one for them, and if there's since clearly there's some interest, I'll put one on the shelf.
Do you have like a minimum of what you would have somebody for opening a pool? Like,
no,
they can get one book and
one
you
book.
Set a pool.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Like, it doesn't hurt, and it guarantees you
at
least getting an issue.
Right, because, I do sell out of some books. Some books I guess wrong on. Like I said, I sold out of, Back to the Future. Here's a perfect example from last week. Back to the Future, when I ordered it, I had three people ask me for Back to the Future. IDW had a thing where if I ordered 25 copies, they would all be returnable, so there was no risk to me. So fine, I ordered 25 copies, no problem. Three people asked for it. I sold out on Wednesday, probably about 1 o'clock. So I had no means of being prepared for that. Here's a movie tying into book tying into a 30-year-old movie.
I think it had to do with the day as well.
Sure, but I can't factor. The same thing happened with Archie versus Sharknado. It just happened to be on the day before.
You can't figure that all out.
When I'm ordering it 2 months ahead of time, I'm not thinking
really,
Sharknado is going to
send you like a letter or a couple weeks. It'd be nice. This is big. You might want to think about why.
And fair, when IDW announced Back to the Future, they did say that it was coming out on Back to the Future Day, but it still made me go, okay.
What's Back to the Future?
So what?
Now,
especially because I'd never seen two, so it meant even less to me. But
there could be a lot of that same reason what I do when I do my pool is that. Like, a lot of people are coming in looking. They don't want to actually tell you they want it until they try it.
Right.
So first issues might be hard for that. Like, Back to the Future, I will say I didn't have it on my list. I came in and got an issue. Because I picked it up, and I wanted to try it out. And
I wanted that issue.
Was the guy. Then here's my problem, too, is, okay, so now they announced the second print that I ordered on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people are going to want the second print, or how many people just wanted it that day because it was Back to the
I don't want it anymore.
That's fine.
Not because of that, because the reviews said it was just all right. It was okay.
But, you know, I only ordered a few second prints just thinking, you know, I'm not going to drown in this. There's been enough times when I've gone, wow, I sold out real quick and ordered, you know, 10 second prints. And when it arrived a month later, no one was interested.
A lot of the stuff you were talking about when you were doing your orders when I was here with Marvel, there's a lot of good points that you had on that of how it's hard for you to decide what you're picking, how much to get of that because of, let's say, Secret Wars not ending. You don't know,
right?
You know, certain things like that.
I honestly even cut my order numbers on Secret Wars because I'm wondering how many people aren't going to want to finish Secret Wars.
Because it started,
or they're not going to want to finish it thing. Because we've already moved on.
Yeah.
And part of the problem you also have to remember is I order non-returnable. So if I'm wrong, I don't get to send anything
Marvel
back.
Marvel is non-returnable. Right.
Right. Well, most books are non. I mean, it happens where some are, but for the most part, they're not. So yeah, for me, it's mostly just gut. And it's funny on Mark Miller's retailer thing. He asked a question. I'm trying to figure out how to answer it. He says, "How do we come up with a number on books? Is it based on the artist? Is it based on the writer? Is it the story synopsis? How do we come up with a number?" And I feel like saying, you know, it's all, we're pulling it out of our butts. You know, we have no idea. It's a total guess. You know, there's no way. There is, but I mean, there's no way to know how many, you know, Tokyo Ghost, how many copies of Tokyo Ghost am I going to sell? Well, is it based on Remender? Is it based on Sean Murphy? Is it based on the story? I don't know. So I just have to come up with some random number on that one. And you hope you're close.
I think you also know your customer base better than some other retailers do, and that helps you.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can, because that's a lot of memory.
Well, no, it is.
The one thing I like that you do is that, like, today with Justice League, you
oh, that was easy.
But
that's just clicking a button on the computer.
That.
Yeah.
Not a lot of places will assume that you're going to want, like,
I pulled it for everybody
that gets
Justice
League. And he put in that issue. That helps.
But especially after reading it, to be honest, I knew it after reading the last issue of Justice League. That's when it was really easy. No, but I know I have two customers from another store that come because they would never pull the annuals for them. And they got frustrated, and then they'd sell out of the annual, and they couldn't get it. And they just...
Why wouldn't they pull the annuals for
because
them?
Because they didn't do that. I don't know. I can't answer what
those
they
are
do.
Jerks.
Stupid decision making.
But then, but I mean, on a lot of these, you know, it's a gut call. You know, it's like, I don't, you know, you're discussing, you know, Contest of Champions. Yeah, you know, I have no idea.
I mean, there's a little bit of thought that you put into some of this stuff. But yeah,
oh, it's not like I don't put any thought,
like, well,
but it's not like, it's not like.
Yeah, I mean, you're making it like
this. Think, man, think. But it's not like there's any great formula or anything like I do, you know, three times polls or anything.
That you're working with.
He has a big algorithm, an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, just like, oh, this is the exact.
Well, I do remember a friend of mine down in Florida who passed away, but every month he would go through and do his previews orders on Twitter, and he would do it, oh, this one subs plus 1 subs plus 2 and things like that, and I'm just sitting there going, I couldn't do that. I'd have nothing to sell, you know, only putting 2 of something on the shelf, especially because my sub numbers are low. I know people, you know, there's other stores that really do push it, and
I think when you do that, then after that initial pain, when people get burned, then suddenly like, I'm gonna subscribe to this and this, so I don't lose out.
Right. Well, I mean, there's always that. And you're always welcome to sub to stuff. But then I have problems where, like, one guy used to always roam the shelves and look for stuff. And then he decided to start pulling stuff. And now he just walks up to the counter. I give him his books. He doesn't bother looking anymore. That's all he wants. And he goes. And I'm like, that's a bad side effect. I want you to look.
Yeah,
you know, there might be that book to catch your eye. There's a lot of stuff out there.
It's kind of different.
Yeah.
Because, usually you'd still, even if you're a pool, you go around, see, wonder what sells.
That's probably
why I got Back to the Future as well, like, because I looked at it, saw it.
There's something weird about, you know, these types of stores where I'm in here all the time, and every time I'm in here, I still, like, look around at everything in case there's something that...
Yeah, I missed.
Yeah, I missed.
I have to get better at that, of moving stuff around so that you... have to look around.
I also have that fear,
you know, like the podcast they talked about, they would occasionally completely change things up, so that way you kept you guessing.
Yeah. So I personally, but it, for me, it's
do that on your show this week.
Yeah. For me, it's a lot of, I have so much to do that, you know, that's fine. I don't need to do anything. Like the image wall, you know, that should probably change that. Maybe move Valiant onto that wall.
Yeah.
But it's that's not a problem right now. Let me deal with that, 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 and that. You know, the other things. Well, so
that's why you sign that sort of thing to.
Yeah, but then well. Yeah, he. Well, that's true. Change he did do that. Well, maybe I'll sign him that. Yeah, I got enough to do this.
Yeah, week. When do we get to do our picks for the show? Like
sure, it. We could do that
and
anytime.
We'll do that for the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I guess my basic thing is just gut, especially. Yeah, without, I mean, like, I aimed way too high on Superman, Lois, and Clark. I hit it pretty much right on the head with Titans Hunt. Marvel, who knows? I'm all over the place. Sold through on Iron Man number one. Did mostly pretty good on number two. Spider-Man, totally missed. I'm probably still sitting on 30 copies of Spider-Man.
Well, that
one
was a tough one, I think, because you were trying to go by probably what your numbers were before.
I ordered numbers were before.
I think that
affected
it a lot.
But now here's a perfect example. This was a comment on my Comics Pro Facebook group. Was to specifically Josh is flipping through the previews and he landed on 451 publisher, and he also mentioned a couple others saying, "What are you doing to these guys? It seems like they're just throwing these books out there and saying, here, these will sell.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a really competitive marketplace right now. Image is, you know, crushing it. You got Vertigo coming back. You got all these new Marvel number ones. And all of a sudden, here's 451 throwing out a book this week, Self-Storage. What is it? What does it mean? Why should I order this book? To me,
yeah.
And I'm seeing other people...
What's selling this book?
I see other people mentioning that you know, they pretty much just order the big two and then the other ones if there's interest. So if people tell them they want another book. Now, you know, I order a lot more than most stores.
Yeah.
So you're more apt to find it. But it, to be honest, I probably ordered two copies of each of these. Not these ones, but the ones before.
But that goes,
just to put it on the shelf to see.
It goes back to what you said a couple weeks ago. Because, you know, yeah, it'd be easy for me to just walk in here and say, okay, I want Green Lantern, Batman, Deadpool, Spider-Man, mm-hmm. and I'm leaving. I probably wouldn't have given Southern Bastards a chance or given, right. you know, Rebels a chance. Although Rebels I read in previews and said, yeah, I absolutely want to
read
that
one. Now here's the problem. This one sold out. Well, I got in two copies, sold them both immediately.
Sunflower, you're talking about.
Sunflower.
Yeah, just
and, but it was to one guy, and it probably popped up on some investor comics website that this was a hot book to grab. So he bought it. He'll never be back for number two.
Yeah.
I can't get any more number ones. Where am I going here? And I probably already have two and three on order. So it's just, it's a weird game. And sadly, that's why a lot of these little guys, this is when you see comments online, because I saw it, I've seen it a lot. I meant to write an email to the Beat on it, talking about the failure of the direct market. And they're saying basically because we don't support these guys, you know, the smaller publishers. And it's a case of, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to order Deadpool. You have some book called Sunflower. I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about it. You're a brand new company. You know, from the writer of Black Mass. Okay, what's Black Mass? You know, you're not helping me, you know, and I don't know the quality of your books or anything.
Right.
So, no, I'm not going to go and order 10 copies of this because I have no clue what it is.
Did they give you anything, like any preview?
No,
of this
no.
So,
no.
How
so
are they helping?
Right, I'm ordering blind, but also nobody came in asking for it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when you come in the day before to get it, well, that doesn't help me. You know, I need it in this case, sadly, it's 2 months ahead of time. Most Marvel and DC, it's 3 weeks ahead of time. I can adjust my numbers. But even to that, this one we had to order a little bit early, but like that Batman, the Master Race hardcovers,
mm-hmm.
I tripled my order, and I still don't think that's going to be enough.
If they would have gave you some sort of, like, preview of it, of some sort of read that you could
read
that issue.
Well, now, to be honest, they may have, but the problem with something like that is it might have been just a blind email from their company with a PDF of it.
Yeah.
And it's just, I get so much of that. It's so hard, you know, to sit down and actually say, okay, I'm going to sit down and read this.
Well, yeah, there's nothing to jump out and...
You can't read.
You're a one-man operation. It's you know, you could either sit there and read all these previews or you
know, that's why I made a point. I did Image had one. Well, the Image had that one and the DC had that one, and I made a point to go and read them. But, you know, I mean, that's on my day off sitting on the, you know, my laptop reading it at home, which, you know, it's not what I want to be doing.
That's when it becomes work.
Reading those two was work because of that. That it was hard. I'm not digging
a ditch.
It becomes
more than what you're.
But it wasn't. I wasn't reading.
It ruins
for
the experience
enjoyable.
Of reading.
Yeah.
No, but if they would have, given you an incentive, say, hey, if you order 15, they're returnable. That's not a huge number, but
yeah,
you can work with it.
Exactly. And I've been having that problem. Like they're Titan. You just got to. I'm having a problem with them just being able to reorder, get stuff back in. A couple of their books are doing really well. One of them, bizarre, it's called Rivers of London, that apparently is like Harry Potter meets X-Files or something. But it's really... It is, but it's really big in England. Well, that's great. But when I ordered this, I didn't know. I ordered two. I sold out. I can't get any more. And it's like, okay, where are we going here? You know...
So you can't increase...
So the first trade's in here, but that means it's not going to be out till January, February. It's like...
So you really... There's no...
They need to work with us a little bit more. You know, print a little more. Have stuff available. Because I don't... You know, they know what they have. I don't know what they have. But yeah, ordering is probably... I don't want to say my least favorite part, but it's the most... time-consuming and frustrating.
It really
part.
Is.
Yeah.
It's an unknown because you don't know it. Like it's if it's new, it's new to you as well. It's not new to anybody else. So there's not really any system besides what you get. Think gut instinct of
yeah.
saying.
But it's just
this
yeah, it's a lot of gut.
This many.
It's a lot of gut, and then because
what's your minimum of if you're just like I'm not sure this is unknown. What's your minimum of what you'd order?
Normally, I order two.
Yeah.
Just because just ordering one doesn't always tell you anything.
Yeah.
If I order two and sell one, and then I have the second one, I order two and sell one, then I know by number three, just order one.
Yeah.
You know, it's, it's just, you don't want to lose money. So, it's just, it's tough. But then some of them, like Dark Horse, on a lot of their new number ones right now, it's order a minimum of 10 and they're returnable. Okay. So that's why you'll see, I got 10 copies of Steam Man. Yeah, I got 9 on the shelf. It's not costing me anything.
Right.
As long as I remember to return them.
And if it does sell,
I'm fine.
It sells.
Right. So that's, we can kind of segue this into my editorial that I wrote on the website.
Thank you for the question, by the way, James.
Yes.
Hope we
and anybody, please send questions. We're happy to answer them.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't ask questions about how much people are buying, because then that makes them rethink their. I don't like that. It's bad.
No, we love the questions.
That's like one time my wife like mocked everybody that came in on Wednesdays, going, "Oh my God, these people have a problem. You know that
they
got to be there
the
first day."
Your
and then I looked at her. I said, "Hun, that problem pays the mortgage, so knock it off."
Man.
So,
if you have a question, send it to Colin on Twitter at PGHComics or on Facebook/PittsburghComics.
Or
on PittsburghComics.com.
Or the very fancy question portal on the website.
Portal, good word.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, if you go to the website and click on the podcast,
it'll send it right
menu
to
item,
me.
You'll see a
put
question
more thought
section.
Into that than what he orders later.
And then, and only two of the three questions that came through there were spam. So, hey.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yay, spam.
But my editorial was, I woke up Friday morning. I think it was Friday. Yeah, I think it was Friday. And...
Came out of a brisket stupor.
I'm going to say you woke up Friday or Thursday.
And I checked my phone, and I had two breaking news from CBR, Comic Book Resources.
Thank you.
One was telling me that Marvel is doing a new Hyperion book, and the other was Marvel is doing a new...
Darkhawk.
Was it Nighthawk? Darn it.
Darkhawk?
No, not Darkhawk. But it's the Batman-type character from... No, it's from Squadron Supreme.
I forget
and the only reason this... Oh, I know why. Yeah, it was Friday, because Thursday night I was finishing the order, and I was talking to Lytle just via text, and I'm like, I just don't even know how to order some of these books, and one was the new Squadron Supreme, because I'm reading the description, and it's not even the old Squadron Supreme. It's a new squadron made up of random members from different worlds. Of the squadron type people. And I'm like, okay, so it's not even the Squadron Supreme that people like. It's not the same team that was in Squadron Sinister.
2 months ago.
Well, the book from Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
So I'm like, how do I order this book? I have no idea. And then, the variant requirements were crazy. Like, 125% of Avengers. I'm just like, no. And so I just remember specifically that one being tough. And I was also talking to him about Patsy Walker. And Scarlet Witch was the other one. Just going, I have no idea. You know, I'm literally throwing numbers out. And then, so when I woke up and saw they announced two spinoffs from the Squadron Supreme book, and I just, my first thought, and it was the title of my rant editorial, was slow down, Marvel. Why are you announcing spinoffs of a book that hasn't even come out of? Yet. So I'm going to have to figure out how to order a spinoff title with having no information on the main book. And what it went into was they're just getting too far ahead of themselves, and things are competitive right now, and people aren't requesting books because they don't want to, you know, there's too many books out there. And I talked about how Boom announced they're cutting their line by 15% because they realize there's too many books for the number of eyes there are looking at them. And some books that should be seen aren't because there's too many books. And even, you know, they're putting out too many books. And I'm just like, Marvel's just literally throwing everything at the wall right now to see what sticks. Where every Guardians of the Galaxy was a popular movie, so now every single character in that has their own book. And we're getting this, you know, all of a sudden they announced two solo series out of Squadron Supreme when the book hasn't even hit. So we don't even know if they're popular. And it was just kind of a rant on, you know, just slow down too much, too fast. It makes people back off and say no, and they just ignore it as a whole. And that's not good. So there was that. It's on there. Please read it. It wasn't just slamming Marvel. I was trying to, there was some explanation between what other companies do and what Marvel does, and just why it's just a little bit frustrating. Then one other thing I just want to talk about, this an aside editorial, was I noticed I was down a whole lot from last October. I thought I was having a pretty good month, and then I looked at it compared to last October's numbers, and I'm way down. And part of it was I had a basement sale for back issues last year, so that bumped my back issue numbers. But the thing that really surprised me is I looked at I noticed my new comic numbers were down a good bit too. And then luckily it shows me the number of new comics I sold. And through yesterday, I was down 1,400 comics between this October and last October. No, that's a lot.
Let me
that's
ask a big question number. Though. Does your system give you the number of titles available? Because if there's only,
I could, but
I'm only going to buy one copy of Batman.
Right.
Yeah. So can you look and see like what average or what percentage you're down?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's some way to do it, but just when I ran the number for comics and gives me a number total and a quantity total, and I was just stunned when I saw 1,400. You know, at $3 a piece.
You need better metrics, man.
That's four. You know, that's four grand at $4 a piece. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know,
like I said, how many Marvel books are being put out versus how many Marvel books were being put out last October?
Yeah.
How many DC books are out now versus how many DC books were out last October?
Well, I'm sure they're fairly comparable, but it's just that's a pretty big number.
Well, right, but before, like Marvel specific, before, you know, last October, everybody was getting Spider-Man. People were getting this. Well, now it's Secret Wars. It's like,
still had two issues of Spider-Man this month.
Yeah.
You know, so I get what you're saying, but it's just, that was just, you know, there's a big culprit as to why. Part of my thought goes to, so that doesn't really matter that, you know, maybe Image didn't come out with a couple more titles. Maybe they were double shipping Walking Dead back then, but that's not 1,400. You know, I only order 80 copies of Walking Dead. So that's not, you know, so it just, that just struck me as a wow.
I think that the tiered relaunch of Marvel didn't help either. Whereas, had they just October 1st, we're launching everything.
Yeah,
you know that.
Or at least DC did that when they did it. It was everything in 1 month, and they're slowly rolling it out over a bunch of months. So yeah, I guess everybody expected October to be really big, and it really wasn't. And I don't think it was a failure on Marvel's part for those titles. I just think the difference between the A and the B and the C-list titles were vast. But then a problem like today, all we got were C-list titles.
Yeah.
So people didn't come in. I don't remember if we mentioned this, but the three Marvel books that came out this week were Squirrel Girl, Angela, and Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not exactly a draw to come into the store. Now, we did also get Cannon and Chewbacca. And then there were a couple random...
Yeah, but those were, like, C-list of the Star Wars ones.
Right, and there were a couple random Secret Wars books that are just kind of finishing up. So, it's just, yeah, I this week really surprised me just how much of a fizzle it was. And then we're back to next week, and I was writing down all the Marvel number ones, and I was, surprised. Why do we have, we have 8 Marvel new number ones next week, when we had 3 this week, but you're right, Josh, you can't schedule comics.
Impossible.
So that's enough of my ranting, and it's not.
Hey, Batman and Robin Eternal came out today, right?
No, you can't schedule these things. So again, it's just another case where I just want to explain. I don't hate Marvel comics. They frustrate me because they don't do things that seem sensible. Squirrel Girl into the people that enjoy Squirrel Girl, fantastic. I just didn't see a need to read number one because I fear it's not that much difference from Squirrel Girl number 8.
How many of these books really are, though? They're just
they're all new, all different. So
yeah. Sounds ridiculous.
Well, but there was a huge change to the Marvel Universe today in Squirrel Girl.
Well, right, that she's no longer a mutant. She's just something else.
She's something. No, she's not.
No,
inhuman.
She can't be an inhuman.
No, she was just. It was inhuman.
She's just something else.
She bitten by a radioactive squirrel.
Yeah,
that could be.
That's, I think, what Josh said earlier.
So, that's all I got for my venting.
But you said we've heard enough of your ranting.
Yes.
You mean for today?
For today.
Yeah. Next for week, today. Something else will happen. And
so, who else has a rant?
Tomorrow, or something else will happen. Josh, you want to go first?
Oh, no.
Or,
Dave, why don't you
Dave,
go first?
You go first.
That way we can interrupt you.
Sorry, I wasn't prepared.
Now I don't have to.
I'll go first.
We already addressed it.
Try and rate you, Will. We already assigned it to you.
Okay, sorry. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I wasn't really.
I don't listen either, but...
let's see. Let's start with... I read 2 books last week that have the word shield in them.
The shield and shield?
That is right.
Ooh,
Pat.
The shield.
Pat,
ding,
you
ding,
win.
Ding.
Pat wins the podcast for today. What's his prize?
Well, the first one was The Shield.
Like Michael Chiklis, The Shield?
No, this is
that would be an awesome book.
This is a number one from Archie's Dark Circle Comics.
Oh, yeah, that book. Okay.
This is a reimagining of the Golden Age hero, The Shield. We were talking about Supergirl before. Now, he was a male back in the day. Now it's a female. She is the spirit of the revolution. And the story takes place in Washington, D.C. She shows up in a... arrested, and she doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know who she is. She's trying to figure out who she is, and she's having these flashbacks to the Revolutionary War and Vietnam, I think, and where she keeps dying and coming back to life. And a lot of setup in the issue, and then there's some mysterious guys trying to following her, trying to get capture her for some unknown reason so far. But it's pretty good. I'll stick. I like what they're doing with the Archie's doing with the Dark Circle comics. The new issue of the Black Hood came out today after a few months hiatus. And the other one was Shield number 11.
Was this your plan, Dave, just to read a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. books?
I will buy anything.
You're making Dave go first?
If it has a picture of a S.H.I.E.L.D. book.
Captain America.
Yeah, pretty much. Well,
yeah. Start buying a cap now. A foul cap. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 11. All these have been one and done issues. This is Mark Wade and art's by Howard Chaykin, this issue. Which is the big draw for me.
Was this it a Simmons issue or
no? This is a team up of team up of Coulson and Dominic Fortune. And Dominic Fortune comes to S.H.I.E.L.D. and he needs their help because his riverboat, I don't think you're supposed to take this issue too seriously, but his riverboat, his
after
riverboat.
After the Howard the Duck issue that you talked about last time?
Yeah, this is maybe. Well, his riverboat has been swindled. The Mississippi Queen has been swindled from him by a low-level Hydra agent. He's like a level one Hydra agent.
Hydra Bob.
His name's Tug.
Oh,
wow. His name's Tug Freeland.
This is starting to sound like an episode of Scooby-Doo. I was going to say. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Riverboat, mysterious.
So he needs Coulson's help, and they go undercover, and they do all their spy stuff to get the deed back to the riverboat. And Dominic Fortune, back in the 20s or 30s, one of his girlfriends gave it to him, so he has a real sentimental attachment to it, and it's kind of a link to his past. So that's why I wanted it back. But it's Howard Chaykin art. I love Howard Chaykin's art, and especially when he's drawing these hard-boiled heroes like Dominic Fortune.
Did he do that? That Shield was it? Shield 19.
Yeah, it was 19. Yeah,
it was
Avengers 1959. Yeah, Dominic Fortune was in that.
And he did Blade not that long ago. That last Blade series that was out. It was good.
Yeah, he does stuff for Marvel every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while he picks something up for them.
Okay, let's go to the Star Wars books. If anybody read any of those. How about Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire?
Star Wars Face Man.
Number 4.
I read that today, actually.
Well, there was a tree in it. It wasn't Groot.
There was a tree.
Oh, there were two trees.
Duo of trees.
It had a lot to do with the previous issues.
Twin Pines.
Well, this, I guess it is notable. This is our first look at Luke Skywalker post-
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. And he's in the... I mean, we know where he is. He's not in the trailers, but he's in the book here.
Well, basically what this issue is about, like... Basically, this whole book follows this girl. Who's the mother of... Yeah. Who's the mother of that pilot from the X-Wing.
Yeah.
Which we figured out in the first issue, because me and Colin had no idea what was happening.
Oh, Poe Dameron.
Yeah. Poe Dameron's parents.
It's following that character. In this issue, she's asked by Luke Skywalker to accompany her to, I guess it's like an Imperial shuttle of some sort, I think. I think it was a shuttle. Star Destroyer, I think it was it?
Wait, Luke asked her?
Where were they going?
Luke asked her to pilot the Lambda shuttle to go to a Imperial research base.
It was a research base. Okay, yeah. That's I forgot where they were going.
The planet, I wrote down the planet. The planet is Vatine.
Yeah.
But whatever that's worth.
Basically, the whole idea is to steal a tree. And then he figured the tree is a... it was originally on Coruscant in the Jedi Temple growing. And when they get there, turns out there are two trees. He didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the issue is about. It's about retrieving this tree that's a symbolic tree for the Jedi.
Yeah.
Just symbolic. It has some power, too.
Oh, yeah. It has some. But there was a lot of force juice
in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It had a high metachlorine count. And it's blood. Tree blood, I guess.
Did you say metachlorine count?
I guess.
Get out of here.
Hey, I wasn't taking it seriously. I was making that into a joke.
Well, that's not funny.
Tree blood? Come on. Tree blood.
That's called syrup.
Well, according to everything, that...
You want metachlorines in your waffles? No, I didn't think so.
If it makes you a Jedi.
Do you want metachlorines with that?
Which doesn't really make any sense. For that, because
calling us some waffles and suddenly force choking everyone in the store.
The whole idea of Jedi's is a high metachlorine count. Then why do objects have a metachlorine count?
Because they're still present. That's what binds the universe. Didn't you pay attention to Qui-Gon Jinn?
No, nobody did. But basically, that's what it was about. It was just a conclusion. Had nothing really to do with the previous
issues. The whole issue, every issue has been very disjointed. You know? Yeah.
Let me ask you, telling
one linear story.
Let me ask you guys this. If this book existed solely as its own miniseries, there wasn't a new movie coming out, it was just a little miniseries that would be collected as a trade, would you feel that it was a enjoyable and successful trade?
No.
And that's the problem. This book solely exists to set up some plot point that's going to be in the new movie.
Maybe.
That you won't even have to
somehow
read the comic.
Somehow these trees are going to be tied to some sort of new temple or something.
It just doesn't.
Or to Poe Dameron having being force sensitive.
Yeah.
It just exists to set up this movie.
Yeah.
The same way that James Olsen exists in that show just to convey Superman's thoughts.
It's a possibility. It would make sense. What you're saying would make sense.
What I want to say is, like, that's fine.
My only problem with it is, how often does Marvel get something that, you know, that they're adding into a book that's like, this is going to be important to a movie? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they give them that much.
I'd
love it. No, I'm saying
if that's the case, then what is the point of this book at all?
That's
because
kind of the thing.
Let's look at some other comics Marvel has right now.
Yeah.
Or it had. 1872 seems like it exists just to give us Red Wolf.
Yeah.
The Old Man Logan tie-in series existed just to get Logan to that new universe.
Yeah.
How many other Secret Wars books existed just to get a certain character in the right spot for these new books?
Yeah.
But on their own, if you just read them, you know, in a vacuum without anything else, they wouldn't be enjoyable at all because there was no point to them.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually,
1872, to be fair, that it was enjoyable. But like the Old Man Logan book, it was just a series. Each issue was him going to someplace different.
What he was talking about with previous.
And I feel like that's happening more often than it should. And even the Star Wars book, and my only thought is that it has to set up something. And you say with the movie, but why else would they have Poe Dameron's parents in this and then be featuring Poe Dameron heavily in the trailers?
It's unfortunate that has to happen, especially with Greg Rucka.
Here's the thing. I don't mind if this is going to set something up, but it should still be enjoyable on its own.
And
it should still work as its own self-contained entity. And that's the problem. They're not. And I'm not saying the Star Wars book is bad by any means. Each issue has been enjoyable, but not great and not good on its own.
At first, the whole series was basically the whole series was three issues, if you really think about it, dealing with her escorting Leia to Naboo and destroying a weather machine. That was basically the series.
Yeah.
And then this last issue was almost like a one-shot where he goes and gets the trees. Nothing added up to that.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to see it connect to the movie. I would. It just never seems to work out that way. You know, and I think I'd almost be disappointed if we didn't see anything more with those trees. That if they had the ability to do something with a comic and give us comic book fans just one little thing that would tie in, why connect it? Oh, I agree. I agree completely. I just don't see it happening.
The other problem is that each issue has, these characters, these new characters, tagging along with some main character from our traditional Star Wars universe. And I almost feel like they're overshadowed by that character's presence.
Yeah.
So we had Han Solo, we had Leia, we had Lando, now we have Luke, and it's really almost like they're stealing the show.
Really, and I feel like this book was basically to get us in, get us in on the excitement of the movie coming out, and then showing us old characters that we knew and being like, oh, here they are, and that one guy that they were just like, here, you can use this guy who's going to be flying the X-Wing and give him a little bit of a backstory so people, if they did read it, can read it. And I feel like that's all they're going to do.
I feel like, I don't think the movie folks would have said, hey, can you make a comic book that ties into this certain thing?
I don't think they did.
But I think the movie folks would have informed the rest of Marvel, here's the basic story behind the movie, and then Marvel said, oh, let's do a comic that shows about this one aspect or something. And
that could be it.
But it still should be enjoyable on its own.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's not the case.
It should be. And I don't think, first of all, I think it should have at least lasted the duration until the movie came out.
I was surprised why the last three issues were weekly.
That was the stupidest. And that's
I think they wanted to get the trade out.
If this wasn't a miniseries,
they have come out with the trade the week after an issue came out. We've probably already ordered the trade. Yeah. So that I don't think, see that being an issue. Mm-hmm.
If this
we
wasn't
had the trade
miniseries,
of Hawkeye the same day as the last issue came out.
If this wasn't a miniseries, there would be no way I would keep my on my pull list because that shipping schedule is ridiculous.
It was odd.
One comes out a month later, two, three,
especially
four.
Especially with the movie not out for
weekly?
2 months. What's the...
Yeah.
You know, build some suspense.
And there was nothing really that added anything to it. Like, got us to the path. But, I mean, everything... all of this stuff they're calling Journey to the Force Awakens. Everything. Even those trading cards are called Journey to the Force Awakens because they're basically built to connect everything. And I think that might just be all they're going to do with it, which is disappointing.
Journey to being a sucker. Guess what?
Good.
We're there.
Yeah, and that's pretty well.
You'll buy three.
I really do believe that that's all it's going to be. I think they said, you know, here. I think Marvel went to them probably and said, "What do we? What can we use to make a book that's getting us ready for the thing?" And they're just like, "Well, this X-wing pilot needs a backstory. It won't mess up anything else. So just use that. If you add him a story, if as long as it doesn't mess with any other character that we're going to be using." And I think that's why we didn't see too much. Like, you know. That's being secretive right now of who the, you know, two main characters are. I don't know. It was disappointing. It really was a very really disappointing book. I think it had a lot of potential to be something. And between as Josh was saying, the release of the book being almost weekly, kinda, and then not being, like you said, enjoyable on its own, it could have been. I think. Kind of hurt the book.
Yeah.
So, no, it wasn't that great.
Much better Star Wars book was Darth Vader, number 11.
Yes.
I think this has been the most consistent,
yeah,
most enjoyable book, you know, starting with number one in the entire Star Wars line, Marvel's Star Wars line.
Yeah.
And this was another good issue.
Well, Colin can act that out for us.
Inspector Thanos.
That was probably actually issue 10, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was the one that had, like, the Max Rebo guy that wasn't Max Rebo.
Yeah, exactly.
But no Drew Beagle.
Live reading of the Shakespeare Star Wars Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah,
one
Adam.
Day.
Since you've read them all.
It's good stuff.
I thought we were going to do that.
Well,
I still think
we couldn't
should.
Get him to do that, but yet he was wanting to do the other thing.
Well, he can't figure out who he wants to be.
When he grows up.
Well, at first he went to play the Sarlacc, and we said no. And it was like, what about Salacious Crumb? No. He wants a bit part.
How was Darth Vader in the Darth Vader preview?
There is
he had a lot of practice
play.
Saying, no.
Well, that only would have been if we'd have done the Jedi Doth Return.
True. Actually, they changed it. That Dave read that. The whole thing's changed. It's all drawn out and everything. It's kind of funny.
Anyway,
yeah,
so
back to Darth Vader.
Yeah, Darth Vader.
So Dr. Aphra and the droids are off to visit this information broker whose name is the Ante, and they're trying to get information about the whereabouts of Luke Skywalker, and Darth Vader is close behind.
He's just clearly running interference, though.
He's running interference, and that was a great scene when he forces that. Forces the laser
forces
blast,
to hit the
power broker, information broker, before he's about to give up the name of Aphra.
Yeah, it's really, and here's what's good about it. It's really an Aphra book, but they can't call it that.
No. Yeah,
because it wouldn't sell. But by calling it Darth Vader, throwing him in there, it sells. The stuff with. Well, BT and 000, every month or, you know, every time that, every issue, it's just, it's funny.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they're like, they're absolutely, you know, all they're missing is the beards. Because they're the opposite
of
R2-D2.
They're the beard versions of C-3PO and R2-D2.
Yeah.
Like when BT's trying to shake the guy's hand to...
He was going
to assassinate
cheating
him.
Cheating at Bocce.
Yeah.
Now, this has been one of the best Star Wars books out there. And I think it's because of what Pat just said about, you know, it's an Aphra book. It's not
yeah, they're new characters, but they feel fresh and
they
new.
Kinda, yeah, they just,
all,
they fit.
Everybody.
And the Star Wars book, which Star Wars book has picked up a little bit as being a little more interesting and less fan fiction-y, but that's the problem. It seems more like a fan fiction, where this kind of fits in as being its own thing.
Yeah, the regular Star Wars book's been picked it up the last couple of issues, but this is, it really feels like Star Wars.
It's just a really interesting story. It's just following him as, you know, they can do whatever they want because you never really followed Darth Vader before.
Right.
And in this case, you're following Darth Vader, and he has something else going on in Star Wars, and it's just like, yeah, that's possible. He could. And then adding the, you'd almost think of having the two droids as kind of cheesy, but it isn't.
No.
It really isn't. They feel like that, but it's just like they're the evil versions of them.
It could be, and it could have been so cheesy.
Yeah, it could have been, but they did it just right.
Well, what would have worked better, I think, for the Star Wars book, and I know they won't do it, is essentially it should have been a Rogue Squadron book where, you know, Luke's there every once in a while. He's off doing what he's doing, but he makes appearances. They interact with, you know, Han, or they interact with Leia. But it's, they're characters you don't know, so, you know, they're, you're wide open to storytelling potential. It doesn't matter if you kill these guys off, because they're not important, except for Porkins. You got to keep Porkins.
And I think it is. It's hard to do that book. You got to give them that, because it's just like, it would be hard to do a Star Wars book.
Yeah.
Because you're having characters that we've already followed so much. Yeah. So you're also a little not interested so much. And it's
where
doing.
You set the book.
But then there's only so much you can do with it. It's too predictable.
Right.
It goes back to the problem with the prequel movies is, before you even started filming, you've written yourself into a corner because you know where they have to end up at the end of these three movies.
Yeah, you kind of have an idea.
We're moving forward, like with The Force Awakens, one of the things I'm excited about it is this is all fresh territory for them. They can do whatever they want. They can kill everybody off.
Because of the prequels, the more interesting characters sometimes were the people that we never knew of. You know, that we followed and we'd be like, oh, you know, like Mace Windu dying or stuff like that. You weren't expecting that so much.
Yeah, you didn't know. Well, I mean, you knew he had to die.
The Jedi's were going to meet their demise, just not how and how that was going to play out. But more of that kind of thing. But character-wise,
still one
of
my favorite scenes.
Anakin's going to be,
you know, Master Annie, what do we do? Oh, this is going to be awesome. And then they cut away.
Yeah. But, no, Darth Vader's been great. It's just a really good book.
And the last one I'll mention is new number one from Boom, Cognetic. Number one. This,
I think you sold out of it already.
No.
On the shelf. I think the shelf is empty. Oh.
This is kind of a
liar. No, I'm not calling you a liar.
Take it outside, guys. Take it outside. Podcast rules.
Don't hurt Dave.
I don't know you.
Sorry, this Brad and Dave.
Thank you, Josh. This is kind of a sequel, but not a sequel to, I don't know if you remember last year, I talked about this book, Mimetic.
About that
happy sloth meme that drives everybody crazy. And, causes the apocalypse. Very dark book.
It's for sale now. It's on the last week's show.
So this book is by the same creative team. Like Mimetic, it's three issues. They're oversized issues for $5 a piece. And James Tinian is the author. And in this series, it's a hive mind is taking over people in New York City, and to make a better world, apparently. But it causes, at the beginning, it causes people to climb, go to the top of the Empire State Building and jump off 10 people every 3 minutes, and it's focusing on some FBI agents and assistant to this FBI agent who seems to have some kind of connection to what's going on. So if it's anything like Mimetic, it's going to get it already is dark. It's going to get much darker, and the only thing I didn't, one thing that bugs me, makes me crazy when you read these books, this hive mind voice, it was the ink, it was like light blue ink,
you just got to squint and squint to read to see what it's saying. And that, wish they would have picked a better, darker color and a font for that or something. It just, that wasn't good, but it's interesting. And that's all I have. I don't know who wants to go next.
I'll go next.
Josh.
So first one I'll talk about here, Ivar Timewalker, number 10. So this is a really fun issue. A few issues back, the protections are in place to keep the, you know, various timelines from getting, you know, completely screwed up and converged, were destroyed. So now time is very much screwed up. Like I said, at one point there were like clown pirates and dinosaur Romans. And that's where they are now. They're in a
I'm
variation.
Assuming you mean Romans riding dinosaurs, not like dinosaurs.
No, Pat.
No, they're dressed as
Romans. The Romans are dinosaurs.
Velociraptors with togas?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they're in Rome.
Life finds a way.
Sorry, Josh. Sorry, Josh.
You just got Dave.
I like this new twist on what being Dave means.
Yeah.
So Ivar and Neela are in Rome, ancient Rome, but all the Romans are these dinosaurs. And mammals exist as well, but they're considered like a lesser species. And the dinosaurs are, you know, the superior species. And they both get captured along with these, like, humanoid rat mammals. And Ivar is taken to the pits to become, like, a gladiator, Russell Crowe style. And Neela is taken to Caesar because they recognize her from her future Promethean counterpart, who I guess is working with these dinosaur Romans. They think that she's with them. So the whole issue is, you know, her trying to, you know, figure out what's going on, thinking that Caesar's working with her and figure out what her future counterpart is working on. Also, Ivar going through these various fights within the pits with other, you know, dinosaur slave fighters. And you find out what the future version of Neela was working on. The dinosaurs thought that she was working on some, you know, massive weapon for them so that way they could conquer the rest of the world. But really, she was setting up this device that's pulling the asteroid that caused the extinction of the dinosaurs in the first place to the Earth.
So it was all meant to be. Yeah.
Okay, I got a question.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in ancient times, when the gladiators went in, you know, those who were about to die salute, and they do that. T-Rex can't do that.
The T-Rexes weren't in the pits. The T-Rexes were like the centurions.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. That
they
makes a little
that
more sense.
Out, Pat. They were just like, they can't do that.
Yeah, they can't. Yeah, they can't salute.
What are they doing? Thumbs up and thumbs down. Nobody be able to see it.
Yeah. Only Caesar got to do that, though.
Yeah. Caesar was, I forget what kind of dinosaur it was, but one of the ones that has like more
thumbs.
You know, not thumbs, but like more defined hands and whatnot.
He's a koala.
Okay. He's one that's like the horn kind of like head that goes.
Triceratops?
Like, not triceratops. Not like, not normal horns, but like the one, like it's elongated and it goes up a little bit to the back.
The
I'll show you a picture.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
yeah,
show
Alley
you a picture after
that. Like
after
the Dilophosaurus was the one that spits Jurassic Park.
Yeah, with the
real
big thing.
Yeah, well, everybody hates Newman.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Seinfeld was very happy of
him. But, you know, it's just, it's a really fun issue. And this whole series has been a really fun series. This was issue, what did I say, 10? Yeah, 10. There's two more issues left before this series wraps up. What? What's wrong? The last of the Fall of Book of Death books, the Fall of Exo Manowar. So this was it was a really good book. So it's showing, you know, the demise of Exo Manowar, but really it's not. The demise that occurs in the book is very different than what's depicted on the cover. So, and that's how most of these books have been, where it's not this, you know, violent, you know, falling in battle kind of thing, but just, you know, the eventual end of their life through natural progression. So it starts off with this father and his son in this museum in what used to be Romania, but became the land for his, for Exo's people. And the museum is dedicated entirely to Exo Manowar. You find out that he is gone. He's already died. And you get flashbacks to him being the king of his people. And he's a much more, you know, regal figure now. He's not, you know, this out-of-time warrior who just, you know, acts first and thinks about it later, that he's become like a true ruler of his people, and his body has been replaced by the majority of, or most of his body's been replaced by the Exo armor. So he looks very different, kind of frail, and he says that there's not much of him left. Like, if the armor were to be gone, that's, you know, he would be gone as well. So he eventually, right before he's about to die, he commands the Shahara, which is like the godly name they give for the armor, because they treat the armor almost as if it were some godlike being. He sends it off into space. He's still wearing the armor that's kind of become him. And then as he dies, you find out that his daughter, you know, takes over the armor. The armor that he was in that has kind of become him goes to her, and his spirit or his essence is part of that still. Okay. So as she's now the new Exo Manowar, he, instead of it being Shahara, it's him that is the armor and can communicate with her. And when it flashes back to the present, or the future, I guess, you see this general from the Vine, which are the alien creatures that, from the very beginning of the Exo Manowar series, the ones that captured him and his people, Eric and his people, and took them to this, you know, alien planet, and they're the ones that worship this armor, and he's hunted him down. He's been, like, a main villain with the Exo series. Well, he's finally come to terms with the fact that Eric was the chosen one, and that he should have been worshipped, and he views the daughter, who now is wearing the armor, as an imposter, so he comes to Earth to try and, you know, get the armor from her, demands that, you know, she's not worthy to wear it, and she eventually convinced him otherwise, but it was a really, you know, good, you know, evolution of the character and ending to that character's story, while showing where the future of that character would go in the future of the Valiant universe. And that's one thing that I think Valiant's done such a good job of, is establishing not just the current timeline in the Valiant universe, but also having these very distinct and fleshed out future iterations of the universe as well. So it's exciting to see, you know, what the possibilities are with that. The last Valiant book that I'll mention, Rye number 11, came out last week. So this is still the Orphan storyline, where after the failed coup on New Japan against Father, Rye is on, you know, this badlands of our Earth, and the rest of, you know, the members of the Uprising are kind of separated out. So we have three distinct groups, where we have one group that has, you know, Rise, you know, the human girl that he initially, you know, got mixed up with in the beginning of the series, along with the Geomancer, and one of the, like, humanoid robotic, almost like, I don't want to say slave, but they were created just to kind of make the lives easier, the human population of New Japan. So there's that group. There's the group that's comprised of one of the other, you know, robotic humanoids and almost like this alien slave creature, which I think it ties back to the Vine again. And then you have Rai, who's on Earth, and they're all on a different quest. The two groups are still in New Japan are still trying to find a way to oust Father from New Japan, while Rai is trying to find a way to get back to New Japan with severely diminished power, since he no longer has his link to New Japan. So he's on a quest to find this Eternal Soldier, which sounds very much like Eternal Warrior. So they're trying to find him, while one of the other groups has a bomb that they want to try and get to where Father's at, and the other group is trying to find these group of the other aliens species that may have been locked up in this failed attempt to recreate Rome on New Japan, where people started going crazy, so they quarantined it off, and they think that that's where he put all the other aliens. So it's kind of cool seeing all these different groups do their own thing. The only thing that hurts a little bit is you don't get a whole lot of time with each group since there's three distinct storylines going on. But they're all really interesting. It was really cool seeing Rai finally, you know, encounter Galad, the Eternal Warrior. And you see it's, you know, a very, like, dreary setting. And Galad has built this giant, almost like fortress, that is more like a mausoleum just for, you know, for himself, and very, you know, empty and lonely. He's just sitting there in the dark on this throne by himself with, because this is the guy that's been around for, I think at this point, 9,000 years, whose job is to protect the Geomancer and the Earth, but now the Earth is this, you know, wasteland, and the Geomancer is, you know, no more, so he's this immortal without a mission anymore, so he's kind of broken down. But then he finds out whenever Rai shows up and Rai's asking for help that, you know, the Geomancer has been found and is on New Japan and is still alive. So instantly, you know, he wants to spring back into battle and find a way to get to New Japan. So soon we should see, you know, all of these stories kind of converging back together again. And I think it's going to play out, you know, very nicely. And also this book, the art has been phenomenal from the start of the series. Clayton Crane has been on the art from the get-go, and they've taken breaks to kind of keep him on there, but he does like this painted art. It's one of the prettiest books that, you know, I'm reading at least right now. Dr. Fate, you used to read that, Adam? So I really like this book a lot. It's a really unique, fun-ish book. Like, it's fun, but it has some dark parts to it. He almost feels like DC's version of what Spider-Man used to be.
Yeah.
Where he has this power, he's trying to balance this power with, you know, his life as a, you know, med student and all this catastrophe that's going on right now because at least the city, if not the planet, is...
It seems like the planet. That's the only thing that, I guess you're right, they're kind of not showing you except for, yeah, like, news reports.
I feel like it's just the city, because I feel like if it was the planet, there would be more
involvement. It would be bigger. People, yeah, would more know that something's up.
Anubis essentially has this city blanketed by this hurricane-ish storm.
Yeah.
But no one suspects anything, like any sort of foul play yet.
Yeah.
But he's just trying to get a feel for his powers and what he should do. And you see him kind of take on more, you know, lower key threats initially before kind of being faced to confront Anubis and save his father. And yeah, it's fleshing out more of the ties that his family has to the, you know, pharaohs of Egypt.
They're trying to give you, like, he's trying to get experience with his powers at the same time of dealing with this large threat.
Yeah, and he clearly doesn't really want to be in the role he's cast in. Which leads to the ending of this book, which I really didn't like at all. It's the only thing about this book I didn't care for, because the ending, it's a very overused plot device for, you know, these types of stories. And even though he doesn't want these powers, it was just a really stupid ending. It was essentially where the villain, Anubis, says, well, if you give me what I want, the helmet, then I will cure your father and everything will be fine. It was just, it's dumb. Obviously, he's not going to stick with his word, or there's going to be some twist to it.
Like,
and obviously, if you give him the helmet and you can't combat anymore, he's just going to continue to wreak havoc and destroy everything.
Like, took everything away that was frightening him.
So in what world would you ever, or what situation would you ever just give that over to him? I wouldn't believe the character, even if he didn't want that power, would act that way.
Yeah.
So that's
I almost feel like his
for.
Father isn't going to survive this at all, because I think that's going to be his thing where he's... I know what you mean. Like, you think he's going to be...
Because I feel like he's going to play a
bigger role.
But
you kind of want it being... He seems like he would, because he seems more like an Oracle-type character now.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost one of those things that would give the threat... Like, not a threat. It would give him more of a failure that would draw him to keep doing it.
Maybe.
Keep it.
You think he's
in,
like, his Uncle
more
Ben.
Like, yeah, it would feel more like Spider-Man then. I think that's what drug me to the book, is exactly what you said. It feels very much like Spider-Man used to. You know, you have this character who's trying to do everything he has to do, but he has to deal with this burden.
And with everything going on, they're making a point of showing the people in his life also starting to realize that he's, you know, not present and can't be dependent on as much.
Yeah.
What are his powers? No. Can you explain that?
It's not super clear to me. Like, he has the power of Flight Eek has like this telekinesis kind of thing where you can control things with the helmet, but it's still...
They explained it a little bit when he was dealing with doing something with water. He was putting out a fire or something, and it's like he can adjust things that... Is it they things drinking. That don't have an already set fate?
Yeah.
Of something. So, like, he can address... He can deal with water because he can change the fate of the water because it didn't have, like, a fate as an element or something like that. It's very odd. All of it is dealt with magic.
Yeah. I like that it's kind of the reader is figuring it out as he is as well, like, in the same fashion.
Yeah.
Like, it's all very kind of, you know... chaotic and messy, which works for this, you know, how this book's being told.
It's, but, like, art, it's a really cool art style.
Such a unique art style in the book, from the covers to the interiors.
What is his last name is Lou?
The artist?
Yeah, L-I-E-W. It's a pronunciation, I want to make sure, but I've never heard it said before.
Paul Levitz is writing the book.
Yeah, Sonny Liu. L-I-U, yeah.
Just his art style is very unique. And I think it fits the book, as we've said, with certain certain books have a certain art style
right.
that they need.
As always.
Yeah. Jeez.
Gosh, you're a little...
No, that was sarcasm. No,
that was sarcasm. I felt it. You feel that sarcasm.
You're from Philly. You guys should be experts on sarcasm.
Yeah, but we're a little more direct about it.
He's like, yeah, right.
We're confrontational about it, whereas it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it just compliments the character, the story, and the
It's great. And they do a good job of making his interactions with the normal people seem, you know, light and nothing abnormal about it, but then his interaction with, like, Anubis...
When things change, look like, really when like gods and they all kind of mutate.
Creepy and exaggerated. Like the dog, when he's
changing. That was the other thing with the dog. He got really big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was like, is he getting bigger? Like, is that what they're trying to show? And then the last panel, you see it, but...
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, it's really good. It's one of these books, though, out of DCU that was not played up. At all. I think they should have played this character up a lot more, especially the helmet being so much used in Earth 2.
Yeah.
I think they could have played it up, or they could have even connected it a little bit to something dealing with Earth 2, or something. Something that would have been a catch for other people. I picked it up mainly because this is one book that those previews in the back of Convergent sold me on.
Mm.
And but it sold me on it because I was reading them all. You know? I was reading all the Convergence books. I read all the back previews. For somebody who wasn't, they're not going to pick it up. But this book sold me because I'm pretty sure exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
It felt like Spider-Man to me.
And also, even if you didn't read the previews, so. This book, maybe not the most recent cover, even though I liked it, has had covers that were really eye-catching.
Yeah. Really nice covers.
So just he something
didn't
like really.
The recent one. I got it.
I like
it. And I think you'd have to read the book in order to understand.
Like, I got it and I liked it, but that cover wasn't going to be something that makes someone go, oh, what's that? I'm going to buy it. But, like, that, you know, Mosaic cover or the Airplane cover, those covers really, you know, made it pop off the shelves and would draw someone over to it, I think.
Yeah. Especially that plane cover. That plane cover was really cool.
Yeah.
And there was so much more. It was actually cropped. It was done as a landscape,
mm-hmm.
and it was cropped as a portrait to fit the cover. But the art has just been great. And I really highly recommend, you know, because DC isn't really playing the book up. We are playing the book up. It's really good.
I wonder, how is that book doing, Colin? He
grunted.
Grunt and a hand motion.
He's saying it's doing
so.
Yeah, it's not doing what he expected.
Yeah,
probably
out of the way.
Walk
away from the table. Thing.
Well, yeah, not my fault. You up and got it to leave over.
You guys are
getting to your part
to go fix the.
You're gonna have to take this fight outside.
Yeah, Colin's more concerned about the hockey game than the podcast right now. Fearless leader.
That's what he's doing.
Okay, middle of the pack. I mean, nothing.
He said middle of the pack.
Nothing to write home about.
Nothing to write home about.
Yeah. But
check it out.
Yeah.
Especially when this first arc wraps up. I think Colin has them on the shelf here. Or if you want to wait 6 months to a year, you could buy the trade. But don't wait that long.
Yeah. It's one of the better books to come out of this DCU. Yeah. And they're actually, I will say, there haven't been a lot that are just great. Two being Perez and Dr. Fate. I think they're both the better books. There might be others.
I would disagree with you on that. I
know for me,
yeah,
these two have really sold me, mm-hmm. and they sold me from the get go.
Yeah, these have been two of the best.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of them have been good.
Yeah, I just think I think a lot could have been done better with DCU. I think DCU was kind of failed miserably. I don't think it did what they wanted it at all to do.
This is a different conversation, but I think the books that came out of it were good. I think the promotion of it was a failure.
Yeah.
But I think the majority of the books
have been solid books, but they weren't put out at all. Yeah. So.
But they just didn't promote it. But the books themselves, the creative teams, the stories have all been solid.
I think the idea of DCU just didn't go. But yeah. No, Dr. Fate, pick it up. That's good.
Yeah. And the last one that I will mention is a new Vertigo book that came out last week. A super creepy book by Gail Simone. Who's the artist on it, Colin?
Top of my head, I don't know. You can probably find out faster.
Yeah, I'll find out. But
with the power of cyberspace.
With the power of links. I will load the information... and tell you
loading.
That this John Davis air. Hunt
he did it.
Is the artist on Clean Room. Why are you searching for it? I just told you who it was.
I was halfway there.
Are you sure?
But you're still doing it after I even called you out on it. You're still flipping through the book. Stop doing it. We know who the artist is.
Wait.
If you find a different name, I'm going to punch you.
Oh, it was...
I just like to know why you tried to say it like the announcer from the Super Friends.
Yeah,
I was just trying to fill time while the magic was happening.
We're on this podcast.
Too much magic happening at the table here.
That's where the magic happens. So, the book starts out super dark. Like the first scene in the book. Takes a really dark twist. You have this family and they're in some European country and they're talking about going to church, and the daughter says her stuffed animals want to go to church, and they're just on their way on the street, pedestrians. And it's cutting to also these delivery drivers where one of them's just having a really, bad day. And you don't think anything more than that initially. But his bad day suddenly takes a really demented twist in that where you think he's just, kind of a grumpy guy. All of a sudden he maliciously drives right over this girl, this little girl that's with her family. Like he's heading towards her as the guy he's driving with says, "Oh, there's a girl, watch out." And he just speeds up and slams her into her. And then he backs up over her again to finish the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's pulled out of the truck and people just beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And you think the girl's dead, but then it cuts to a hospital.
Right.
And you find out she's alive, but there's something with her legs. And then she keeps asking where her dad's at. Her dad's standing right there. She's not blind because she can see her mom. And then she finally, she's like, well, then why is dad's face covered in snakes?
Go to another scene, this other woman, in a lake at night.
Yeah.
And I forget exactly what she was talking about, but basically tries to drown herself.
Yeah, it shows that she took a bunch of pills and alcohol, and she wants to kill herself in this lake. You're not sure why yet. But she tries to drown herself, but her neighbors found her floating there, and they got her out and took her to the hospital.
But then she sees her ex-boyfriend? Her
ex-fiancé.
Who had blown his face off with a shotgun. All of a sudden, he's there, and he's talking, and he makes reference to this book.
He doesn't make reference to it. The guys, her neighbors that came to see her in the hospital, gave her a copy of the book and said, here, this might help you get through your problems. Yeah.
And then he's like dripping
blood
on it.
That's what spawned her having that vision, because her fiancé started reading this self-help book, and from there,
it was like a big follower.
Spiraled out of control and then killed himself. And she remembers that, and it clicks, and she decides that she... her missions now is going to be to find out what the deal was with this book and why it had that effect on her fiance and what is really behind it. So she's going to seek out the author of this right. this book, who is a very reclusive
right.
author.
And it sounds like it's almost like a cult of people.
Yeah.
And then she meets like a former friend of his who's now homeless
mm-hmm.
and like in a dark alley. And he's like, no, you don't want to know. Don't go near there. Don't
yeah,
go near
he's saying
there.
Once you know, start with this book and with that, and when if you go to the clean room, then you will end up just like your fiance right. did.
And he's like, you know, it looks like I'm on drugs, but I'm not. This is yeah. how, you know, terrifying this was or how bad mm-hmm. it was for you. So she does go down there. She finally gets an appointment to go in and talk as a journalist.
Yeah.
And in there you see, now Josh totally caught this. I didn't catch it. But, so she's
there are a bunch of little clues.
Yeah, she's meeting with the assistant. And the assistant's like, you're never going to meet her. And, you know, starts to get really snippy.
Yeah,
and something happens.
Some
like
visions.
There's a, yeah, there's this, like, monster behind this woman that she's talking to, and she like falls out of the chair and stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this woman comes in with like a team of people who is the writer of this book. And then Josh totally caught.
Yeah. So when the writer walks in and there, like I said, there've been some clues that she's sitting there in this office. Like one clue, you see this stuffed animal and then they're talking about how the author is German, or she's in Germany, I think in Berlin, and her last name's Mueller. And then she comes out and she has this red hair and this mole on her cheek, which the little girl from the beginning had red hair and this mole on her cheek, and she had that stuffed animal, and she was in this European country because everything she was saying is being translated. So she's this girl who is, you know, what's the term? Someone just, it's not a hit and run because he didn't run, but
right.
not like gunned
yeah,
down.
Yeah,
yeah,
run
just,
down. Yeah,
okay, run down.
You kill her homicide.
Yeah.
Or attempted to kill her homicide.
So this girl who was this victim in the beginning and suddenly saw the her dad with the snakes became the writer of this self-help book that is suddenly having this weird effect
right.
on people in this whole clean room thing that's going. So it was really
cool.
I was
very Vertigo.
Yeah, I was on the fence in the beginning of the issue, just some of the dialogue. Some of the dialogue wasn't feeling right to me, but by like one third of the way in, I was pretty hooked. And by the end of the book, I think it's definitely something I'll be picking up on a monthly
yeah.
basis.
And it's just neat because Gail Simone, who's done a lot of things from, you know, Gen 13 and Deadpool and Birds of Prey.
Secret Six.
Yeah. Secret Six, Batgirl and stuff. So it's just funny or interesting seeing her write this very Vertigo, very.
Yeah.
Hardcore
yeah, it's,
book, and it's just interesting. You know, you kind of almost have to, you know, go. I bet most writers have that kind of weird, twisted story in their head.
Yeah,
and that's the nice thing about Vertigo is it gives them a place to put it out.
I've always liked Gail Simone.
Yeah,
I think she's just a really good.
It was neat, and it was funny. This makes me think of this one thing Justin Jordan talked about, where he was talking between Image and Boom. He was doing one book at Boom. What was it? Deep State, I think. And another one at Image, and there was an interview, and he says, well, Image came to me about writing this book, Boom came to him about writing this book, and he got paid for doing that. He got, you know, as he turned in each script, he got paid, where with Image, because it's all creator-owned, you put it out, and Image fronts the first whatever for the publishing costs and stuff, and then as soon as that...
You get paid on the back end.
So he was kind of like, yeah, Image is great and all that, but if you need to pay the mortgage, you need a regular. So it's like this could have gone to Image. You know, it's something she could have done at Image, but, you know, this way she's getting paid for it by DC. I remember Sean Murphy said it was well after the trade had been out for a while, but that he finally turned a profit. He finally started seeing residual checks from Vertigo for Punk Rock Jesus, and somebody had asked him on Twitter, was, you know, really it sold that poorly? He said no, he got a really big advance
yeah.
on it. So it wasn't a case of that it didn't make money, but he got an advance, so he got money up front, where at Image, everything's
back end. Yeah,
you just keep saying back end, Pat.
Yeah,
I keep talking and then you just chime in back end.
But
between you and Josh, okay,
what did I say?
You keep talking about butt stuff. So.
I whispered that to you. And it was applicable to what you said.
Okay.
That's going to be the weird
funny.
Title of the podcast.
Yeah, that's what we're going to call it.
Butt stuff and back end.
No.
Back end butt stuff.
No, stop. Okay, you done? Not trying to rush you. I thought you said
that
was your last book.
Five books is good
for
me.
I thought he was going to say something worse there. No, but he was like,
five.
I was like, what?
Okay. Nope. Oh. Hang on, sir. Okay.
That took a lot of...
Go ahead, Adam. You have lots of notes.
Yay.
I bet you didn't read anything, though. Did you read
some
Prez?
Of your stuff.
Did you read Prez?
Prez is next
You read
week.
Chewbacca?
That's next week. You can't sell that. Because you don't have it. Amazing Spider-Man number 2. I like this issue better than I like the first issue. Yeah, it's not to say it is. It's not. I don't like the direction they're taking it. And Pat said that last week. It was you, Pat, right? That you were saying that you don't like the rich man Spider-Man.
No, I didn't read it because when I saw it was James Bond Spider-Man, I'm like,
but it's not. But then this one kind of is. This one got a little weird. Yeah.
It just. For me, the whole book doesn't feel like Spider-Man anymore. And that, I think, is a problem.
How does Spider-Man feel?
Soft.
Prickly.
No, I get... Because it's weird, because there was one thing where, at the end of the first one, basically they wanted his Apple Watch or Parker Watch
and they kept
that had all his stuff on it, but he had safeguarded it or whatever, so they weren't going to be able to get into it. And then, so now he and Prowler, who's his Spider-Man bodyguard thing, have to go to get it back, but it's him and Prowler, like, in this submersible, going to this underwater base to get it.
Spider sub.
And it just, you know, they're bickering back and forth, and at one point, the bubbles didn't make sense. I had to go back and double-check who was sitting on which side, because it was a shot from outside,
okay.
But the word balloon should have gone
the other way.
Yeah. And it was just very odd. It's like, well, wait, if Spider-Man's your protector, then why is Prowler, you know, to these people, because it's not Peter Parker. It wasn't bad, but, like, you had that big cliffhanger in the first one that wasn't even addressed in this one.
No, not at all. And I don't think it'll be addressed for a while.
Yeah.
I think that was just your catch, like the catch part
maybe,
of the book.
Yeah.
I didn't like how that was done either.
And it wasn't bad.
This one went back, but I think they at least went back and addressed it, which is good because it's been so long since we've seen... It was Ends of the Earth that we saw the Rhino and Silver Sable meet their demise. And they kind of addressed it in this book, and then there's a scene at the
end. Which Rhino is it?
It's
the first
it's
one?
What's his name?
Paul Giamatti.
Or something. Yeah, it's Paul Giamatti. It's the actual, it's the Rhino.
Okay.
If you remember in Ends of, did you read Ends of the Earth?
In
the Ends of the Earth, Doc Ock had an underwater base, and it started to flood in, and he was holding Silver Sable down.
No,
it just filled up, and supposedly Spider-Man couldn't save her and left.
Well, because he had to save someone. He had someone else he had to save.
Which it messed up because
everybody
Dan
gets
Slott,
one. It wasn't her time.
Dan Slott's idea, his formula of this whole series has been Peter Parker's motto now is nobody dies, which is just like, that's going to be an impossible task.
Right, and they kind of changed it in this issue to be, do the best you can.
Yeah, and it's just like, we're not even trying.
Enough.
What's even the point of having a motto now? Because it's not like he never tried to help. It's not, but it doesn't feel like Spider-Man anymore. Not horrible. It's kind of taken its own take on whatever they're going with this. It just doesn't feel like Spider-Man.
It's just a book.
Yeah.
The one thing I will give this one is it kind of wrapped up that story, so it was just like a little two-parter to start, which was kind of nice because it's been a long time. You know, everything now gets stretched to 5 or 6 issues.
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice that there was a problem, there was an attack in the first one, and it was resolved in the second issue, and now they're going on to something else. So I did like that, because that reminded me when I started reading comics in the 70s and 80s, most of it was just a little two-issue. You had the beginning, you had the end. You had some threads that went through. Claremont made those threads a little crazy, and so that there was always a thread. But specifically, I remember my first issue of Daredevil was a part two. You know, so I had to find part one. To see what happened before. But so I did enjoy the fact that thing was wrapped up. But it was just, it was a little weird where he's working with S.H.I.E.L.D. And, of course he's dealing with Mockingbird, who's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and all this. It just was a little much.
Yeah.
Intersect needs to go over a little bit.
Oh, shit.
Hey, clean podcast, man. Don't
I whispered
that.
It. They couldn't
okay.
hear that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you could hear what I just said,
he's going to
raise your hand.
Right in. I said right in.
Oh, right in.
Right in, yeah.
Okay. Open your ears.
Oh, man, they've been fighting all night.
I know. Trouble in paradise.
The police. Trouble in paradise. Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's Spider-Man.
No, I think that was Hulk Hogan that was in there. That was Thunder in Paradise.
Thunderlips.
I really liked Thunder in Paradise for some reason. I don't know why. It like filled some Knight Rider void for me with the crazy with the crazy boat.
Okay.
Back to the Future, number one. As I said, I picked this up just...
I read that too.
Because I saw it. Did you read it?
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. I thought it had... it didn't have too interesting of a story for a first issue, though. It was basically... It was a two-part book. One part dealing with how Marty met Doc Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And...
He knocked on the door.
No, not that. Oh, you're saying the first. That wasn't the first time he met him.
Oh.
Great Scott. So they had that, and it starts off with him telling this story to his new kids that he's had, and they're still in the West.
That was the first time that Doc met Marty, but not the first time that Marty met Doc.
Whoa.
Mind.
Oh, I get it. Because of the time travel.
Obviously because of the time travel.
That's it. Never before. I thought you meant you had another.
What? Out of life, out of body experience. A time travel movie.
Okay, Adam, come on.
Anyways.
Pick it up. Focus.
I'm trying.
it's
but
his
yeah.
fault. It's not his fault.
Are you done? Okay.
Does someone have a little green hair to come save him?
The next one, but the next part of the story dealt with... a past story where Doc was involved in the Manhattan Project, which
right.
was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I like the art in the book. I thought it worked for the idea. It almost seemed like the second part was the same artist as Ghostbusters, but I haven't read
like,
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I like the art in the second part.
Chris Burnham, I think?
Is it Burnham?
No.
There's two Burnhams.
Okay.
Well, the best thing was written by Bob Gale, who wrote the movies, so you could take it, you know, seriously that he knows the characters and it's in canon,
yeah.
you know, for and so that was one of the best things about it. I mean, just love the characters so much. So
nothing's really in canon or out of canon in a time travel movie because anything can be changed.
Well, that's the truth, but I just. It was written by the same guy who did the movie, so that was a big plus for me.
Yeah, yeah but, yeah, it wasn't bad. It was kind of fun. Batman and Robin Eternal, number three. I've really liked this series.
Yeah.
I like it as a weekly. It's fun having a Batman weekly book. But this one just... It starts off with the ending of the last book where...
Red Hood
is holding
Eric Byrne.
What's her name?
Cassandra
Cain. Hostage, or not hostage, but holding her still because she was going to fight. Turned out he wasn't as good as he thinks he is. That she is very good. And Dick Grayson tries to tell him this over the phone.
Yeah.
But it's them just trying to solve this mystery, basically, of what, you know, that there's something... larger in play. Bruce still has amnesia, so they can't get anything out of him.
I like how focused this story is.
Yeah.
Like Batman Eternal, it was telling so many different stories at once to eventually like bring them together. This, everything feels like it all goes together from the get-go.
Yeah, because all the Robins are together.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, not just the Robins, you have Spoiler there. The only one that hasn't been there so far is Barbara. Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, I guess she hasn't been there, has she?
Mm-mm.
But she wasn't on the list either.
No, but Harper Rowe's there, and Stephanie Brown's there, mm-hmm. and you know, Cassandra Cain's there, and I knew in the New 52 she's not part of the Bat family yet, but she was part of the New 52.
Was Duke on the list?
No, he's not even in the picture yet.
Yeah.
technically he's not part of. I mean, you know, that it's We Are Robin, it but like it's they, like the loosely whole idea affiliated.
Is that it's like the whole idea of the story is that somebody knew that they would be Robin.
But I don't think Bruce even has a thought that Duke will be a Robin yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
If it, unless it's not up to Bruce, it's something well, bigger, because that's where the someone, story seems yeah. to be. But his whole making him a Robin maybe sometime in the future might be aftermath of this, and it doesn't, you know, he starts off with, fresh with Robins.
We just need new Robins.
Yeah. But... I've liked it. I've really, you know, at first I thought, oh, they're just trying to sell this.
He likes it. He really likes it.
I thought they were trying to sell this off of the previous series, which did well, so this one might be adequate. But this has actually been pretty good.
It's really good.
So, Justice League number 45 was
what a stinker.
Really good. Yeah. It was really, really good. Setting up the whole idea of these gods. Kind of, and you were talking about that not too long ago, about the whole Final Crisis idea. It seems very close to what Grant Morrison was trying to do, and then they just didn't stick with the idea of, you know, them becoming the new gods.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they're kind of taking this.
Yeah, it was really, really cool that the art in this issue,
Francis Manapul,
man.
Yeah,
I mean, the art's been great in this series, regardless,
yeah.
but...
Yeah,
Jason Fabok.
Yeah, Fabok's art's been incredible, but Francis Manapul's art in this issue, it just, it really worked for this new tone that the story has taken.
Yeah. Kind of cool, the idea of, you know, what gods they're setting up, who they're setting up as gods, their names, you know, what they are.
Yeah.
I loved Flash's new look.
Yeah.
Where he's now taken over for the God Black Racer.
And Green Lantern is, I guess, going to become something involved.
Because he had to go take off after the
Parademons were going after Oa, it seems like. And by going by the cover of this one shot that just came out today, he seems to be like their leader. That they all even have the Green Lantern symbol on them. I haven't read that book, so I have no idea what that is, but that seems like what they're doing with him. Superman is the god of, what, strength?
Strength.
Shazam is the god of gods, which I thought was kind of funny.
God of gods.
Well, yeah. If you think about his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the biggie is Lex.
It is Lex.
What happened
Luther.
With Lex?
Little
farm boy.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Well, first
thing,
that he lied to say he was Superman, basically. Because the prophecy sounded like Superman.
Yeah, it was Superman. Yeah.
Except the prophecy... did say human, which Superman is not.
Yeah. Fair enough. But, yeah, for them...
So the prophecy
for him to say,
up.
Yeah. But then, so, then, you know, basically he was able to withstand an Omega Beam. Yeah.
It was really
this
cool.
This is something.
Yeah, he's become the new Dark Side.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they just you finish that one and you're just like, again, like I felt almost after every issue of these,
this is how you do an event.
This is how a big event, and this is going to be a trade that I'm going to be able to sell. And now, knowing that there's 6 one-shots going into it, this is probably going to be like 18 issues long altogether, is my guess. I don't know. We're already 6 issues in or so, something like that.
Yeah,
this
was 5, and it said started
at 41.
And you don't have to buy any other series to follow the story. Like, they have these one-shots if you want to get extra stuff, but this whole event goes through just Justice League, which is nice.
Yeah, but that was.
Yet it still feels epic.
Yes, absolutely epic. But it also does imply one of the things that they got post-convergence, where this book doesn't make sense with the current Superman and Batman. So they're able to do it without being tied into the continuity of those books.
This book hasn't been in continuity with those books since its start, though.
This but I just remember things like the original, like Grant Morrison's JLA. Where he started off great, and then all of a sudden they made Superman Red, Superman Blue.
Yeah.
And he had to incorporate that into his story.
Yeah.
And you know, you could tell things were shoehorned in where it wasn't supposed to be that way. Where this, at least the new editorial thing, is saying, do what you want. You know,
yeah, it's just...
You have JLA, you have Justice League. They don't mesh at all. It doesn't matter.
Since the beginning, I feel like they've just told Geoff Johns, do whatever you want.
Yeah,
make it good.
And he has. He's done a really good job. Well, especially with New 52, coming out of New 52. I mean, getting off of Green Lantern a little bit, taking on some new things, I think has really helped.
And then just to, not to give away anything, but today was the Justice League Batman book. And basically it's just exploring a little more of Batman in the Mobius chair. And he goes back to Gotham.
He's what, the God of Knowledge?
I think that's what they call
him. And so he, just to give a little bit of, not to give anything away in it, but he goes back and the Gordon has put up the bat signal. And he comes in basically saying, I know everything. Why do you need the bat signal? You know, and Gordon basically is like, well, I just throw it on for one last time for old time's sake. And Batman's, well, haven't I eradicated crime? You know, I'm, because he's been turning people over to Gordon saying, the problem is he knows what crimes they're going to commit.
Oh, he went all Minority Report. Yeah.
And so Gordon's like, I can't, there's no laws on the book to arrest people for what they're going to do. He's like, well, I stopped them from committing the crime. Isn't that good enough for you? And then it goes on where he does some, a little bit of investigating of stuff of some other crimes. But, it ends very interestingly with him and Alfred. But again, Alfred has two hands. He's carrying a tray and you see the other hand and things like that. Gordon's still just the commissioner. So, but it, I thought it was really, really good. I'm looking forward to these other one-shots.
These are weekly, right?
Well, actually more than weekly. We're getting two next week.
Okay.
It's probably going to, probably more than weekly, because my guess is they're going to try to have all these come out before the next issue of Justice League.
But that's not a problem.
Because even this one said continued in Justice League.
Okay.
So.
But that's not a problem, I don't think. Because if they were not one-shots and they were, you know, coming out just sporadically, it would be kind of Marvel-esque. But. Tokyo Ghost, number two. I really liked it. Thought this was just, I liked it better than the first issue.
Dingle ding.
Yeah. But they kind of set up what the plan is basically for the book in this. They gave you an introduction to the characters more in the first issue.
The first one's more just kind of you were just going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in this one, they're...
they explain their relationship.
Yeah.
Where before you didn't even know if
it
was a relationship.
I love that. I thought they did a good job of explaining that.
They did. That section
a lot of,
was very wordy.
Yeah, very wordy, but it
was... It was almost words on the sides, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was the perfect use of that. I know a lot of people, you'll have a lot of creators that will use that word on the side thing, and it's kind of complex, and it just didn't fit. This, it went really well with.
Good job, Remender.
Yeah.
It was very good. But I almost want to say, good job, Remender. Do your own thing. Stay away from Captain... America. Stay away from Uncanny Avengers. Not that they were bad on themselves, but his weirdness works really well when there's no confinement or anything.
Yeah.
I loved his run on X-Force.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that was great, but again, that kind of was on its own.
Yeah.
You know, going against the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and all that, and it was just, but really good. Just, again, weirdness, though.
Yeah.
That was not a normal
X-Men book. Yeah, that's true.
But the thing about this book, too, is the stuff in the background. Like, the stuff that you read and you're listening to, like the television shows, that you're like, oh my god, the future just sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what was the best TV show?
One of them was like rich people, poor people counting rich money, people's
yeah,
money.
Yeah, but there was another one that was even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, there were a whole bunch. You're just like, oh my god.
But
like,
no, it was good.
And then the kid being in school and his teacher is like, wow, you know,
you're an idiot. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was good.
I wish they could do that. And I'm really waiting for the Running Man to come on.
It kind of almost is the Running Man.
That was something I saw on Facebook where it said, well, everybody's talking about 2015. Don't forget, we still have these coming. And it was Running Man and something else.
Blade Runner. See that one. But it's good. It is. And the spreads, like, they had a really good spread in there where he was jumping when they got to Tokyo or Japan or wherever they're at.
Yeah. Oh, those two-page spreads were awesome.
I saw those at San Diego, but out of context. But I definitely remember that one jumping where
it was just
chasing
really
the
nice.
Little Chinese guy.
And then
Japanese.
Tokyo's whatever. In Japan.
Yeah,
you do know they're two different countries, right?
No.
Just the way, with the hat and the staff. And
I thought he was going to say something else. I don't want to add on to your hatred.
Sorry, Asian guy. I forgot it was
like that
either, okay,
but...
okay.
Just stop.
it's so late. Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sad.
Everybody else has fallen asleep, too.
Your editorial stuff.
Yeah, that's really where it comes from.
It was all my fault. Okay. Fair enough.
But yeah, that's
so just
that.
Read
go.
It.
Your turn. We gotta hurry. Go.
No, we don't have to hurry. But I'm sorry, I forgot. I got confused as to which country.
Well, I've only got two that haven't been discussed.
I apologize to us.
First was, did anybody read the second Paybacks?
No.
I forgot it was coming out. Yeah.
Okay. So I won't talk about it too much. But basically the premise of this one is the team, you know, each issue, it looks like there's kind of a new, you know, repo sort of target. So this one, there's like an underwater base that has like a team down there. And the main guy, I couldn't really peg the main guy. He seems to be sort of Superman-ish because nobody really thought they could kind of take him. And he had, you know, like three other people, I think, on the team. So basically they go to repo it. And there were a couple things, like Night-Night is now part of the collection team, obviously.
Right.
And they go to get equipped for their trip with, like, new weapons and some stuff like that. And there's a guy who's sort of the caretaker of all their equipment. And I guess he's like a former supervillain, so Night-Night is all like bent out of shape about, you know, the fact that this, you know, this guy was a villain, you know, kind of thing. And nobody else seems to be too concerned about it. And so they go on the mission to, you know, to repo the base. And then at the end of it, there's a scene where Night-Night is in and... he's looking at this basically supercomputer that I don't know if it's their boss's files or this the other guy's files. I kind of missed that detail, which is kind of important. But it's basically got like every known superhero to include their, you know, aliases and, you know, real assumed identities and that kind of stuff. And one of the members of the team shows up in this database as being deceased, even though this member appears to be very alive, so that creates some doubt in his mind about who this person actually is. So I won't say too much because you guys already read it. And the only other one I read was, and actually Colin mentioned the first one of this, but it was Oxymoron, The Loveliest Nightmare, the second issue, which the first one ended with the forced jumper who didn't have any choice but to jump off a building. And in retrospect, that was the mayor of this city. Who is involved in some corrupt dealings. And so this one starts off basically with the I don't even know, I guess the villain. He links up with the local news anchor and basically tells her, you know, I'll give you, you know, inside information, you know, basically on kind of what's going on. And, you know, so she'll have all these exclusives, which will be great for her ratings, obviously. And she seems to have some thing about the detective who was disgraced from the first issue, who had some previous partner die, you know, partner died,
right.
And then she got demoted, and then I think had some probably psychiatric problems. Well, she's back to being a detective at this point, but so there's still some bad blood between the reporter and her. But so the couple of events that happen in this one is Oxymoron sets up a movie theater. There's a senator who goes to that theater basically like once a week or so for like an early showing. And, you know, he basically shows up and says, there's a gun under every chair and I've got some guys planted down in here, but you all don't really know who the bad guys are and who aren't. So maybe you might want to shoot some people just to take a chance, you know? Okay. So basically it's a bloodbath and everybody's ends up shooting each other. And, the net result out of that is apparently he's going after these, you know, what he refers to as oxymorons. Is the senator was like making money, you know, raising money on the gun lobby kind of thing, but he was, you know, supposed to be like a gun control guy, you know, so that was sort of this, you know, that doesn't jive. So that was the problem. His seat actually didn't have a gun under it. That was the
thing,
you know, so rails had one. And then, so, you know, they're investigating that. And, of course, the news team was there actually basically before the police were there, which kind of causes some friction because they realized there had to be some, you know, knowledge kind of thing. And then the second event is the oxymoron lets himself get captured by this, like, underworld sort of criminal kingpin guy. And so he basically says, you know, says, yeah, I know. You know, every week you mail a package to, you know, three places. There's like a foster home, like a youth, like a boys and girls club, you know, kind of thing, and then a school. And it's basically just, you know, money and stuff, because those were things that helped him when he was, you know, sort of coming up as a young boy. And so he's like, so you're, you know, this criminal making money, you know, doing all these bad things, and yet you want to be like this charitable guy too. So that doesn't really mesh, kind of. So he says, well, you know, you've got three, you know, lieutenants here, and they've all been with you for a long time. So you think you've got me, but I only need one of those guys, you know, kind of. So basically, you know, it kind of ends up with the oxymoron and the one he had sort of turned, and this drug kingpin. So they basically take him, and then so the last scene, oxymoron broadcasts a statement that the news has, you know, exclusive access to, and he explains that the mayor was corrupt and running a, you know, basically a brothel, I believe. And they included some underage girls. And the senator, you know, he explains his deal. And then this drug kingpin was actually kind of, in a way, put there by the chief of police so that they would kind of have someone, sort of wasn't really an ally per se, but basically someone on the inside so that they could kind of direct the underworld activities almost by proxy. And so now with this guy out of the way, the chief of police would probably be taking a larger role, you know, and getting a bigger cut out of the things. So then at the end, this drug kingpin is, like, strapped to a wrecking ball, and the wrecking ball goes into the chief of police office, like, while he's standing there, okay, you know, kind of. And that's how it ends. And I forgot to, along the way with the drug kingpin, he replaced his usual weekly packages to all those three places with bombs, so that, you know, further cost of mayhem. And and then there was a little blurb at the end by the creator, and he says that, like, at this point now, it's really going to start getting weird, which I'm not sure. Get a lot weirder, but weirder. So it's pretty good. It's kind of creepy, good, you know, kind of thing, and different. So that's it for me. Hopefully I didn't take too long.
Pat! Okay, well, I only got one that you guys haven't talked about that I want to talk about. Is The Beauty, number 3.
I flipped through it. I tried to read it. Not that there was a problem. I was trying to read it quickly. And, like, I saw the beginning with lots of nakedness. And then it was just a lot of talking, so I didn't get a chance to
read it. While sitting next to a 5-year-old.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, I did notice that. And I wanted to call him a perv, but I figured, I'll leave it at that. No,
do that enough at home, you know. I mean, not being called a perv, but sitting next to the kids reading something quite inappropriate while they're watching, you know, iCarly.
Too late. Yep.
They're not seeing it.
Sitting in the living room reading your Playboy.
And no.
There's a lot of cleaning up here involved.
Yep.
In another year, that wouldn't be a big deal.
So... So The Beauty. Kind of recap a little bit before. There's a sexually transmitted disease where instead of, like, people want this because it makes them lose weight and their scars heal and all that, it makes them beautiful. Well, what we find out in this issue is it's kind of like a ticking time bomb. And they can, you know, they know how long it's going to take. For you, it's not really spontaneous combustion, but it kind of is, where you're almost burning out from the inside. But it's weird how they do it. It's like light coming out their mouth and out their eyes. They don't really catch fire, but that's how they do it. So the detectives that have been working this case, they're ambushed and someone's trying to kill them, and they get rescued by a guy who we find out is part of the biggest anti-beauty group. And we find out the whole reason why he's doing it is he used to work for a pharmaceutical company that was trying to cure the disease. And, you know, we find out people don't want it cured. They want it to...
Right.
Like, they length of people's beautiful. Lives, but they want, you know, they want it to continue. So, you know, that's kind of where they left off. And then we also hear a little bit more that, you know, there's senators involved basically trying to control the flow of information. Essentially, everyone, you know, in the government knows that these beauty deaths were going to happen. they were just trying to keep it quiet, and now it's getting to the point where they can't keep it quiet anymore. So they're going to have to do something about it. As I said before, this is a really interesting concept for a book. The art's good. The writing's been pretty good. And it's very different than most of the things on the shelves, and not just because, you know, you open up the boobs. But that didn't hurt. So, Colin?
Okay. First one, no boobs. Karnak number one, which is Karnak's an inhuman character who last I saw, died in Inhumanity number one, jumped out of a building.
He got better.
Yeah, he got better because it almost read like he found the flaw in the afterlife and was able to come back.
That's how you get better.
It's written by Warren Ellis, so it's got a lot of interesting ideas. But basically, he is now the magister of like this religious sect. And S.H.I.E.L.D. comes to him through Phil Coulson to help them find an Inhuman because they're having a big Inhuman problem. Just, you know, with all these new Inhumans due to the Terrigen Mists. And he has to try to find one that, I forget exactly why, but only Karnak can because S.H.I.E.L.D. will be overstepping their bounds by trying to locate an Inhuman. And so there's just a lot of back and forth with Karnak interviewing the parents and things like that. And then it ends with him going to try to get the kid. It was good. It was interesting. It's just one of those, I wonder how long is this going to go? Because last time Ellis did Moon Knight for 6 issues and then left the book, and it kind of went through a couple different writers, and then they're relaunching it.
Yeah, each writer got an arc.
Right. So is he just doing an arc of this? Is it only planned for an arc? You know, it's Karnak, not a, you know, real popular character.
I don't see a Karnak issue number 200 coming.
Right, no. So, it was good. It was a really good issue on its own. Everything about the art was good. Everything, it was a little S.H.I.E.L.D. heavy, just in Coulson heavy.
Okay.
But it was fine. It was good. Good issue. Titan's Hunt. I had no idea what to make of this. The solicit was really very generic, and I just kind of went into it not knowing anything. And basically, this seems to be another one similar to the Superman, Lois, and Clark that's taking the continuity loosening. Because it starts with... it's like all the Titans are having, I don't want to say issues, but like it starts with Arsenal basically just getting drunk in the back of his truck. But when he goes to buy booze, it's from a character named Nark or something with this really weird name. Well, somebody told me he used to be a Titan in Titans West. And then... I think... not Jericho. Malachi. Or something like that. Darn it, I forget his name. He was in for a little bit, I remember. In the book, and all of a sudden he was like up for an Academy Award for something for music. And because I remember he had some musical power. Right. But it's like, it was a terrible movie, but the score was great. And then it has Grayson being sent to stop somebody who's like harvesting superpower parts from people. Like this guy has
Spiral.
Well, I think it was Spiral. I don't want to say it was Spiral. I'm not 100% sure it was Spiral. But he was going to stop these people because like this one guy needed new lungs. This bad guy needed new lungs. So someone had taken it an Atlantean and sold them, you know, and they're like, and the benefit of this is that you now can breathe underwater. Someone comes in to stop them, and it turns out it's Garth Tempest from the old Titans. But they don't, like, remember each other, but, like, they don't fight. It's like, I'm not going to fight you. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And then at the end, it has, like, this psychiatrist who is somebody named Lilith that I don't remember, but she has this file cabinet, and she's trying to reassemble the old Titans. So it's like doing pre-New 52 and even further back.
Welcome back, Titans.
Yeah, so they're trying to hunt and put together the team. Like at one point he's standing looking at Arsenal was standing looking at a water tower and going, God, that shape is really familiar. And it was a T.
It's a T.
So, you know, something's going on here. And it was good. It was enjoyable, you know, probably for more, you know, older fans, you know, remembering the older stuff. Then the last one I read was Uncanny Inhumans number one, which followed kind of from Zero that came out back in May or March. And I honestly couldn't tell you what happened in it, so I apologize for that.
Okay.
I don't remember. It's a blur. It's late. I'm tired. So that's about everybody talked, right?
Yep. So it's coming out next week, okay. Alan.
Next week, we have Amazing Spider-Man 3. Because, that's every other week. Yes, let's get our big books out every other week, which I don't mind considering nothing came out this week. I would have rather had it this week, but or let one of them slide. Avengers versus Infinity 1. I'm not sure what that is. Batman and Robin Eternal 5. Holy cow, this has been weekly for five straight weeks.
You can't plan these things.
Batman the Animated Series, Batmobile. I have four more coming in next week. Call of Duty Black Ops 3, number one.
Josh?
What?
The Batmobile.
Oh, I'm not getting it next week. Okay.
Citizen Jack. I don't remember exactly why this was like somebody with a big name. This is out of Image. This is one of the bigger ones. Contest of Champions, number two. Deadpool, number one, Pat. Deadpool, number one. Yet another Deadpool, number one. Detective 46, Doctor Strange number 2, Doctor Who the 8th Doctor number 1, Drax number 1, co-written by CM Punk. Loving these two books coming out the week after Halloween. A lot of these I highlighted because of that, but we have Evil Dead 2 number 3 and Evil Dead 2 Tales of the Ex Mortis coming out the week after Halloween. And
I think it's also because the new Ash vs. Evil Dead show comes out next week.
Okay, and Ex Mortis. So this was Tales of Ex Mortis. Now we also have Ex Mortis number 1. Extraordinary X-Men number 1, that's the Jeff Lemire penned one. We have the Flash TV Central City Police Badge that I had a bunch of people ask for. 40 Coffins one shot, nothing special other than 40 Coffins after Halloween. It's not helpful. Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Hangman number 1 coming from Archie, just for you, Dave. Hercules number 1 from Marvel. Howard the Duck number 1 from Marvel. Invincible Iron Man number 3, James Bond number 1, Joe Gollum, Occult Detective, that's from Dark Horse. This is one of my favorites, the John Carpenter Tales for Halloween Night, shipping on November 4th.
Well, that's Halloween Night.
Yeah, hang on to that one for a year.
It's just shipping early for next year.
Didn't say which Halloween night.
True, but sadly, when I ordered it back in September, I kind of hoped it would
come
out.
You should have asked.
Yeah, you're right. Johnny Red, number one, that is Garth Ennis doing a book.
Johnny Red or Johnny Red?
Johnny Red.
Oh, okay.
In the color. Then we have the Justice League Darkseid War Flash and Superman. Klaus, number one, which is Garth Ennis doing the story of Santa Claus.
It's Grant Morrison.
Oh, Grant Morrison, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
It's evil Santa Claus, though, isn't it?
It's like, it's going to be like, he's calling it his all-star Santa Claus. Yeah. The origin of...
I dare... Monstrous number one is coming from Image. That's the next one they're really pushing. Ninjak number 9. You got Nova number 1. Pacific Rim, Rim Tales from the Drift number 1. We got Sherlock Holmes 7% Solution. Star Wars number 11. Can't have a week without Star Wars. And then a lot of other stuff. I don't even know what all this stuff is. I'm saying Battlefront Twilight Company, Droid Factory, Kanan, Princess Leia. Survivors Club number 2, that's one of the Vertigo ones. That was an interesting first one. This Damn Band number 4. Uncanny X-Men 600. It was only supposed to come out in May. Finally coming. With 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 variant covers. I cut my order down to one of each because at first I'd ordered like 5 of each. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm ordering more variant covers than I am of the main cover. So forget it.
Yeah.
Unfollow number 1 is the Vertigo book for next week.
That looks good.
Vision number 1. I do not know what to make of that book. And then Weak Stand on Guard number 5. So much better week than this week. Just more
stuff.
More stuff. My problem this week is it seemed like it was a lot of C-list stuff where I need some A-list, some B-list, and some
Batman
C-list.
Batman stuff to get in.
Yeah.
Chewbacca was this week.
Right, but...
That's A-list.
Yeah. Chewbacca is fine.
It is on A-list, you're right.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You just made the list.
So, if you want to reach me, you can always reach me at the store. You can email me, Colin@PittsburghComics.com or Facebook /PittsburghComics, Twitter @PGHComics, where you might see some cracking comments. I actually threw up some like little mini reviews during the day today as I was able to read some books.
Or just come see him in the store.
You can always come see me in
the
store.
He's the guy in the bowling shirt.
So, Adam?
That's the podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.